It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 10th day of March 2021. This is the Horn, headon.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we keep all the nifty, groovy, secret stuff. Nah, it's not secret. Like the Horn chat room, the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the best way to augment your live listening experience when the program is live between 5 and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Let's see, there's only two more broadcast days of Standard Time. By the time Monday rolls around, we'll be talking about Daylight Time. Yay! Yeah. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. It's prayer meeting Wednesday on the Horn. Glory. And if you pop by the chat room right now, well, you'll be immediately greeted by early arrivers Squeaky and Roger in Oregon and Otto DeShot and our buddy Asgard One Actual. That would be Viking Rick. And capably moderated by pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Hallelujah. It is Prayer Meeting Wednesday, and every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude. This program is no different. And as a consequence of that, we have thanks to send out. Much gratitude to our 10th day of the month. PayPal subscribers, thank you very kindly. To Judy, and thank you to Daniel. Thank you to Paul from Parts Unknown. Thank you all so very kindly indeed. Thanks as well to David for jumping in. Thank you, David, for jumping in and helping taking the fundraising goal down. It's not as terrifying as it was last night. We got $790 to come even with where we stand now. That's this evening's fundraising, Tuesday's fundraising, and $190 worth of Monday's fundraising. So, hey, wouldn't it be lovely to finish Monday now that we're 2 days past it? Yeah, it really would. That's how we keep this independent, progressive, liberal broadcast operation going. I don't like talking about money all the time, but it's the only way I know to keep the thing going until somebody comes knocking on the door asking us to hustle, steel buildings and wood floors from some deforested South Asian island nation, and waveform radios, and buy gold now, what have you. So if you'd like to help out, the PayPal interface is on the very main page at headon.live. If you'd like to become a new subscriber at Patreon, just click on Contribute, and that interface is on that page. Okay? Okay. So we'll try to work our way down from $790 so that we're not talking about the biggest Friday on the Front Porch community made miracle of all time come Friday. My heavenly days, what a beautiful, beautiful day it has been. This has been, without a doubt, pure and simple, the loveliest day here in Central Appalachia of 2021. It is, in point of fact, I may as well, and it's a little scary, but it's 78 degrees in the fabulous Horn Studios at the magnificent Kincaid Mansion, and that can mean only one thing. And this is like those moments when the planets line up and you can see them all in like one little corner of the sky or what. It's like a convergence, a harmonic convergence of some sort. Only a lot more terrifying, really. Because brethren and sistren, hallelujah, glory, amen. It's naked prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn. It's not every day that a naked prayer meeting Wednesday comes along. And this is the first one since the big announcement back in New Year's Eve. But yes, naked prayer meeting Wednesday radio at the horn is underway. And every now and then a little breeze blows through the studio window. And whoo, yeah, that can get exciting. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure I've already ruined dinner and in all three time zones. Probably breakfast in Hawaii, mid-morning snack let's just say all the forks just fell onto all the plates, and that's the end of things, yeah, without a doubt. So, you know, enjoy that. Not even any robes, no vestments. Brother Deacon Asa says, you need to cue up some horror film music before you announce the naked radio thing. You know, it's probably, or maybe at least the screech from Psycho, you know, eep, 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 that would work, wouldn't it? We'll get the production staff right on that, Brother Deacon Asa. Thanks for the suggestion. Thanks for the great idea. So, no kidding, it is prayer meeting Wednesday on the horn, and here in a little bit, I have one of those prayer meeting Wednesday stories, the likes of which one waits for. You wait all night for stories like these. Yeah, see, there we are. Ralph's just told you ruined my popcorn snack. Oh, you don't want to think? No, not popcorn, please, not popcorn. By the way, subject line, Horn Nutraceuticals, Billable Rick wants to know, I'm inquiring whether the Alabama sex clams are now back in season, asking for a friend. Well, no, those usually come around about Alabama sex clam season only happens in odd years when there are Republican dogfights for unexpired terms in office. The last Alabama sex clam season was in August of 2017. The hardworking imaginary scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals watch the signs in the sky and on the calendar, all the portents, most carefully, so that they can get out there and get those Alabama sex clams the minute that they go into season. So we'll let you know. We'll let you know, Billable Rick. Tomorrow is, of course, the big day for Agnes and me. It's rabies and distemper shot day. You know, we'll be able to get out and safely, among other things, safely see the grandkids and things like that, and that'll be wonderful. And it's interesting, for those of you who haven't gotten yours yet or are anticipating, we got some guidelines, and these are CDC guidelines. No ibuprofen, no Tylenol, no aspirin, none of that. 6 hours before the shot to 6 hours after the shot, which is kind of counterintuitive because usually, I mean, I can remember back when the babies were little and we'd get their vaccines, you know, because we got our babies their vaccines. And Agnes would always dose them with a little bit of baby ibuprofen before the shot just because it would cut down on the pain and the inflammation and any miseries that would attend it. Yeah. But no ibuprofen, no NSAIDs, no Tylenol, nothing. 6 hours before to 6 hours after. And we are scheduled for hours at 10:45 Eastern Standard Time tomorrow. And they say that the process moves pretty efficiently. So by tomorrow, Thorn in the Side Thursday's broadcast, I should be able to tell you how I've responded. We still don't know what we're getting, Pfizer, the Dolly shot, or Johnson & Johnson. Anyone will be welcome. And, of course, the CDC guidelines came out a couple of days ago saying, you know, don't travel yet, but you can see grandma and grandpa can see the babies, that kind of thing, if they're close at hand. You know, that's. And I'm still waiting for the travel notification, but I've been thinking more and more, and kind of because, you know, spring's coming and it's nice outside. But I've been thinking more and more about the Hornet. And I'm thinking of making it part of the fundraising for the GoFundMe campaign so that, you know, maybe like last weekend of October, something like that, we might could do it if everybody's had their distemper and kennel cough shots and everything. Good idea, you think? And also coming up here in a very short period of time, I asked my dear, dear friend, my mentor in many ways, and in this new process that I've involved myself with, Terry Ellen, to join us this evening. We've talked so much about all the various and sundry different hateful legislation that's going on in the country. More than 20 states, I think, now, against trans kids and basically Republicans attacking children, because that's who Republicans are. Oh, we love the little fetuses. Oh, wait, it's born? Heck it. Right. And so hopefully she'll be joining us here in a few minutes, and we'll get the conversation started. That I had to reach out to her because of one particular story. Like I said, one of those that you know it's out there. You know the goddess of irony is going to hand it to you. You just don't really know when or how, but you do know it's going to be there. And when it happens, oh, it's a magical thing, a wonderful thing. And so that is what's in the offing as we begin this prayer meeting Wednesday here in the Cathedral of Common Sense, of course. And I sense that we're ever so close to being able to open up to real fake church services in the Cathedral of Common Sense, and people will be able to sit down and rub elbows down in the fellowship hall, and the little old blue-haired ladies and the little old blue-haired men can do their cooking magic, and we'll have prayer meeting Wednesday like the way it was meant to be. We'll go back to that. But right now, let me bring on my dear sister, Terry Ellen. And it's been a while. It has been, let's see, my goodness gracious, Terry, let's see, 28, 29, 59. It has been 69. It's been 69 days since you were last on this program.
69. What a number. I can't imagine.
What a curious number. What possible significance could that have?
I just have no idea. There's some significance to that number. I just, for the life of me, I just.
Well, the goddess of irony controls everything here, and I'm sure she worked that one up just for us.
Yeah. So you didn't have any nefarious agenda on that one, right?
No. I'm entirely in the hands of the goddess. So
I swear. Yes. Well, that's most excellent choice. 69 days.
And as it turns out, my exact 6-month anniversary of both my HRT and my status as a non-smoker will fall on the Ides of March. Namely, this coming Monday.
It's in March. Et tu, Brute.
Exactly. et tu, sister.
Or et tu, Marlboro. I don't know. Whichever
your brand was. So. But, no, it just kind of blows my mind. You know, 6 months. 6 months. And
how are you feeling with your lack? Well, you're doing patches, aren't you?
No. I'm long past the patches. It's been a long and screwed up journey. We left the patches behind and went to the tablets, and so I'm taking 4 milligrams twice a day, buccally. You know, and just put a little estrogen between your cheek and gum, and it'll make you feel like not a real man anymore. I just remember the old snuff commercials from back in the 70s. Hi, I'm Walt Garrison.
Thank God for that. Shit. Yeah. Yes.
My next goal. My next goal is to move on to injections.
Or something.
Because I had a conversation with a practitioner who said that the care. Who said the care I'm getting is something less than.
Who I know as well, and I think you would be in wonderful.
Yeah, so I'm excited about that. That'll probably happen, you know, past mid-month or so. But, you know, you have kept me alerted, Terry, because you follow this so closely and you are so good in terms of your activism. The proliferation, like toxic toadstools after a warm spring rain of these anti-trans bills that are all over the country. Can you give us a little background, précis, on that? I mean, where things stand, I know, you know, obviously you're in Alabama.
I'm in Alabama.
And there are toxic bills presently wending their way through the legislature. Where does all that stand?
Yeah, I did a quick count this afternoon. There are 50 different anti-trans related bills in the various Republican legislatures across the United States. 50. Most of them, of course, pertain to making sure that especially trans girls can't play sports as the gender they identify with. Those are just so numerous. And then the second one, and just about as numerous, is the one to prevent trans minors, kids generally under the age of 18, from getting any kind of medically affirming trans-related care, whether it be puberty blockers or HRT,
or even in some cases counseling.
I was about to say, and even counseling in some cases. And in fact, the two bills in Alabama, the one that passed the Senate, did not include the amendment that would allow counseling for trans kids. Affirming counseling. The House bill did have the amendment on it, so those two have to be reconciled. And, you know, that was supposed to happen today. Now, they had a hearing today at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and it was not voted on. It was held over. So that has yet to be voted on. So hopefully that bought us a little bit of reprieve. It's in the Health Committee of the House of Alabama, so please call, write, tweet, whatever.
Tell them when you fill out the email form, tell them you're from Zip City, Alabama, and because that's a real place, or Utah, E-U-T-A-W. Yeah. You can be from Utah,
Palmer, Alabama, or Rimlap, which are two adjacent cities, and the name is spelt backwards for each. Yeah,
Rimlap
and Palmer. Yes. Two cities that wanted to be called Palmer, and so one got it before the other, and the other one just spelled Palmer backwards and became
it, oddly enough, that sounds like where the planet where the Coneheads came from. No, wait, that was Remulac. Okay.
But these bills are everywhere. Now, of course, they're all in GOP-controlled states and controlled legislatures, and they are really hitting it hot and heavy, you know, to really hit it to our community. They feel... Some people think it's backlash against Joe Biden, you know, being the president now, and that he's rolling back all the decisions that President Trump put in place to deny us health care, deny us jobs, deny us housing, deny us adopting kids, to deny us in any shape, form, or fashion, banning us from the military. There were over 30 different policies that President Trump put in place denying us things that President Obama had put in place for us. We went from having a president who had our back to a president that was painting targets
on them. Yes, exactly. Well said. Let me ask you this, and you talk about all these bills that are proliferating. You know, they're not all necessarily GOP states. There's a hateful anti-trans bill in Connecticut, which is decidedly not Republican.
True.
But that doesn't limit the ability of a Republican to introduce this noxious stuff. In Alabama, where you are, though, How hard, I mean, even as it stands, with the law not having been passed, how hard is it for a little, a little trans kid to get care? I mean, I'm guessing there's not a trans clinic on every corner.
Oh, no. Good Lord, no. You really need to be near a metropolitan area like Huntsville or Birmingham, Montgomery, Mobile, and then you have access to pediatricians and endocrinologists with some knowledge about how to go about this. I mean, you know, a kid in a podunk town in Alabama might have a very understanding GP who still could prescribe such medications. There's plenty of information, medical journals and whatnot, that they can reach out to other doctors, and especially the ones at like UAB in Birmingham that now has a gender identity clinic and are treating, you know, adolescents with puberty blockers and HRT when the time comes. And generally, HRT is not prescribed until an adolescent is 16 years of age or older.
And all of this presupposes the fact that the little kid has come out to mom and dad, and that mom and dad, or mom or dad, or mom or mom, or dad or dad,
are on board.
Are on board.
That is correct. This doesn't happen without parental approval. It doesn't. Now, a child in Alabama does legally have age of consent at 14 years old for their own medical care. So these bills would strip that right away only from trans kids, only from trans kids. So isn't that special that, you know, you get to be treated as a second class citizen just because of a medical condition, of which being transgender is? It is not a mental condition, but having the medical condition can lead to mental issues, as in like 50% of trans kids have reported attempted suicide within the past year. 50%.
That, you know, you'd almost, yeah, you'd think that that was something on the level of, for that demographic, Terry. That's something like an epidemic. And generally, once upon a time, we responded to epidemics by saying, hey, let's cure the epidemic. But die faster, trans kids, die faster.
Oh, yeah. Now they say the epidemic is transgenderism, the etiology of being transgender, that, you know, all these kids are getting transed by stuff on the internet, that they're reading stuff. And it's so cool to be transgender. You know, it's just this wondrous, cool thing to be a trans person, I guess, as a teenager, as if being a teenager isn't rough enough.
God knows we sure loved it, didn't we?
Oh, God, yeah. You know, you and I, when we were standing on the sideline of the football games and practice at football in the hot of an August sun in Alabama. Oh, that was glorious. Just couldn't have asked for anything better. Shit. Hated it. Hated it.
Hated it. Yes.
Hated it. Yeah, and it still amazes me that you and I were both there, and we're now...
I kind of marvel at that every day.
About trans and both. It's just mind-boggling. You know, they say that there are no coincidences. Are a case in point, aren't we?
We certainly are. Just think of us. Yeah, because any given day at practice or whatever, we're standing there shoulder pad to shoulder pad, and I can just see little 16-year-old you looking over at little 16-year-old me going, hey, I'm trans. You? Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Oh, my. Oh, man. I know. God, I would not have said those words.
No, never. Not in a million years.
Mercy, not in a million years. No, I knew about it, thought about it every damn day. Every damn day. Never went by without something about that going through my mind of, how do I get rid of it? Will it ever go away? Surely it'll go away when I'm 20. Surely.
No, it won't. Don't call me Shirley. Right?
Yeah, I'm serious, and don't call me Shirley. That's right. You know, and to see this, I've become so numb, Robin, looking at this stuff. Again and again, it's just one after another, and it's like, okay, what else are you going to do? Where else are you going to cut me? Go ahead. Yeah, I won't feel it. Go ahead, cut me.
And, one of the things that I'm so old, Terry, I can remember when the Republican Party
was older than you.
I know
I'm
you are. Yes.
You, so,
that's
you know,
why you're my big sis.
Just a few weeks or whatever.
But I'm so old, I can remember when the Republican Party was the Republican Party of family values that valued the family.
Oh, yes, indeedy. And small government, we want to keep government out of your life.
Unless we're interfering with your right to raise your own child in the manner that you think is best for your child.
Well, yeah, because it's just child abuse. It's child abuse. My God, why would anybody want to do that to a child like that?
But, you know, we
not let them go through God's ordained natural puberty. Because, you know, you and I haven't been through that, that it just fixes everything.
And you know, I wanted to bring that up. I'm glad you touched on that, Terry, because we had the clip here. I ran it a couple of weeks ago. It was when Dr. Rachel Levine was having her confirmation hearing in the Senate Health Committee. And, of course, the doctor, I say that with, you know, you can hear the scare quotes around doctor, can you? Dr. Rand Paul, libertarian ophthalmologist, and that thing on his head, decided to wax grandiloquent to Dr. Levine about genital mutilation. But along the way, and it was odious, it was hateful, he was called out, and thank God for our allies in the Congress. But along the way, he cited a statistic, and you're much better at this than I am, and I wonder if you know where this comes from. He cited this statistic that says most little trans kids will stop being trans kids as long as you don't provide them medication. And this was the part that just, it was like just ice water in the face, as long as they are not given any affirmation.
Yeah, really?
Holy crap. In other words, what he was saying is little trans kids should be cussed at, treated like crap by their parents, and, well, that'll untrans them.
Yeah, that doesn't work. Yeah. You know, that it's a convoluted, cherry-picked thing from a study of years ago looking at it really wasn't even trans kids, just they basically called them that if a little boy wanted to play with a doll. And, you know, in doing follow-up studies with all these kids, lo and behold, they couldn't find like 80% of the kids that had been in the studies. And so they just automatically assumed that these 80% of these kids just were no longer trans.
How does that survive statistical scrutiny and peer review?
It doesn't. But when you're a hateful group like the Family Research Council and these other ones that are behind all these bills, the Alliance Defended in Freedom, the ADF, they cherry pick and they don't tell everything. And of course, our gullible audience will swallow it, you know, hook, line, sinker. It's BS. It's a lie. It is a lie. We have so many thousands and thousands of grown adults, such like you and I, who went through our childhood and adolescence. Nobody affirmed us.
Oh, no, we had no affirmation, and we certainly had no medicine.
Affirmation. We had no medications. And look at you and I in our 50s. You know, I have transitioned. You are transitioning. Yeah, none of that shit worked. I sent them all a letter, members of the committee talking about that in my letter. It's like, I did all the things you're supposed to do. I male bonded. I played football. I got married. I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I did all these things y'all tell us that will fix us. It doesn't. It doesn't fix us. I don't know anybody who's gotten fixed. I hunted. Oh, my God. I can tell you how many hours I spent on the Internet around 2010 looking for somebody who got a miracle, who got fixed. There is no one. There is no one who does. It is forever with us. It never goes away. It eats at us like a damn cancer. And the only cure is transition. The only medicine that helps is estrogen, or if you're trans guys, testosterone, to go on the sex hormone of the gender you identify with. And it is an amazing an effect upon our mentality.
Oh, God.
Our you know, goodness of life, our quality of life. Oh, my God. It is just incredible. If there was any cancer drug that did for people what this does for us, they would be just, you know, shouting it to the rooftops.
Yeah, they'd have the Nobel Prize in medicine, you know, every year.
Yes. You know, attempted suicides go from 41% to 7%. That's documented.
41% to 7%. And the only reason it's still 7% is because of the shit we get from society, and primarily families and friends.
Yeah, it's always. I mean, there's that general disdain, I guess you could say, that one hopes is receding finally, with some acceptance and you know, fuck tolerance.
Yeah, at least, you know, it does go down to 7%. At least it goes down. And that is such an amazing. What if you had a cancer drug that took, you know, death rates from 41% to 7%?
Exactly.
That would just be freaking amazing. What if the stock market would go nuts over a drug like that? But for us, oh, no. You know, y'all end up, and I see it, comments. Well, you know, most people, they end up, you know, regretting their transition. They regret the surgeries, and they regret this, and they regret ever doing it. You know, Walt Hires is going around on his little, I regret my transition toward all these legislatures, spilling his vile BS on this. He regretted his. Of course, his grandmother really fucked him over when he was a kid by dressing him up as a girl throughout his childhood. He never was really trans. But the regret rate in our community, Robin, is like 1%.
Yeah.
On both surgeries and transition, and even the ones that detransition.
And both genders too, right?
And both genders too. That is correct. I mean, your normal plastic surgery has a regret rate of like 15 to 20%. Ours is like 1 to 2.
That's cis people getting... Facelift,
boob jobs, tummy tuck, whatever.
Liposuction, whatever.
Yeah, it's 15 to 20% regret that they wish they had not had the procedure. We are one satisfied customer. Oh, my God. I mean, doctors love us because, yeah, there's very, very little regret over what we have done.
And not to get too terribly personal, but how far past your ultimate transition are you at this point? 2 years?
Well, you consider bottom surgery to be the ultimate point, or whatever, if one ever stops. But I'd say 98% done at that point. 2 years and 5 months.
Has the regret kicked in yet, Terry?
Oh, hell no. Shit. Just the opposite. Just amazingly grateful, amazingly happy, amazingly content in my body. No dysphoria whatsoever, no mental, no physical, just to feel normal. God, I remember the first time I felt that way, and it's like, holy shit, is this what cis people feel all the time? That's glorious.
Yeah.
Not to have that constant dissonance, like you're going to fly in a million pieces. That's what it was for me. It's gone.
Yeah, that constant vibration, like a struck tuning fork inside you that just, you know.
That's not in tune. Yeah, that. Now my tuning fork vibrates in a beautiful harmony.
It's just a nice little 440A like it's supposed to be.
Yes. It is amazing. That was the only thing that worked for me. I tried everything else.
Again, you touch on these things that, and part of the reason for these conversations, you know, this program has been about a million different things and nothing for 15 or more than 15 years. And, you know, it's never been, you know, I've done a lot of stuff. I've spent more hours broadcasting about mountaintop removal. I've done more broadcast hours on mountaintop removal than any other broadcaster or journalist on earth. Mm-hmm. And it means very much to me because it's right on top of me. But so too with my transness. And I couldn't talk about that for years and years and years. All I could do was be an ally when I brought the stories up. Now, you do a fantastic show along with your colleague, Nikki Marie Dawn, every Saturday morning on Trans Talk Raw. I encourage everybody to tune in because it's just a fantastic conversation.
9:30 Central Standard Time on Facebook Live.
Yes, 10:30 Eastern. Let's not confuse people.
That's what I'll try to.
Yeah, we can see you take 10:30 and then you subtract 3 to get the Pacific and you carry 2 and you got Hawaii. and then the calculus is involved.
Now you're just look it up on Google. Okay.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And calculus is involved with Australia.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
But the point is, y'all do a program that is about, for, and by trans people.
Yes, we do.
I try to bring the topic up now in the grand context of liberal progressive talk. And I do so because I very badly want our allies, our friends, the people who love us and care about us and probably have trans people in their lives, whether they know it or not, to be demystified.
Yes, to see us as just another person, that we don't have three eyes, we don't have cloven hooves, we don't have a forked
tail. Well, some of us don't.
Well, you know, hopefully most of us don't. But, you know, we're not evil. We're not out to attack, you know, anybody in a bathroom. We just want to be left alone. Let us live our lives. Let us have our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, just like everybody else. How is that considered special rights? That's the argument you hear of people who are against the Equality Act that is before the Senate, that we're asking for special rights. We want more rights than other people. And I have yet to understand how just simple equality gives us any extra rights.
Yeah, how is it an extra right?
How is that?
How is it an extra right to have a law that says you can't be fired for being who you are? How's that an extra right? How does that?
I mean,
because it goes back. I remember during the last phase of the culture wars, when all the good, God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual Christians were hollering about how if and the gays can get all married, my marriage is going to fall apart. Well, Bubba, is that because maybe you're gay?
Could be.
But oddly enough, the divorce rate and the marriage rate hasn't changed not even within statistical notice.
It didn't anybody's marriage. It didn't affect anybody's marriage. The world did not end, and the world will not end, you know, in giving us equality. We seem to fight the same fight over and over and over. All you've got to do is change the name of the marginalized group that is asking for it. It's like women wanted the right to vote. Black people wanted civil rights. LGBTQ wanted equality. It's the same arguments that are put forth.
And meanwhile,
what about children? What about the women? What about society? It's going to destroy things. They're asking for special stuff. No, we're not. We just want the same rights that every white, heterosexual, Christian male has in this country. They are the pinnacle of civil rights. And equality is just being equal to that, period.
And yet it's the same tactic with these culture warriors every time. Fill in the blank is going to destroy Western civilization.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. The same arguments, just change the name. Just change the name.
I mean, if we arrange them in the right order, we can probably come up with a word out of it, but it's the, let's see if I can get this.
They do the same thing, the left-handed people?
Yeah, the black, gay, Muslim, Sharia, trans marauders are going to ruin your school, take away your freedom of religion. There was Ted Cruz. I had the clip of him on the program last night, Terry, talking about how the passage of the Equality Act would take away people's freedom of religion and would repeal the Religious Freedom Restoration Act.
Actually, I think it might repeal that act, actually. And that act has been used in ways that were never intended by the people who formulated it.
Well, the law still stays on the books. It's just that you cannot use your religion as a cudgel to deny someone else their rights because of yours.
That's right.
And there's a significant distinction there.
There is. It's like when you're using your religious belief to screw me over, that becomes religious tyranny. It's not longer religious freedom when you're the only one who gets to exercise it. If you're forcing your beliefs upon me and how I can live my life and whether I can have a cake or I can have health care
or a pizza,
or whether I can, or a pizza or have housing or a job, all because of your religious belief, then that becomes tyranny. We might as well invite ISIS over here. They have sincerely held religious beliefs. Shouldn't we have them come over here and let them exercise theirs? That would be wonderful, wouldn't it?
Oh, that'd be just lovely.
Same difference. I'm just as dead. We're just as dead. Doesn't matter if a Christian kills me or a radical Muslim kills me in the name of their religion. I'm just as dead. It's not better because the God person did it, not the Allah person.
No, and the fact of the matter is, with the Equality Act, people can still gather together in their weird little snake-handling churches.
That's it.
And talk about how awful we are. They can hate us until they're blue in the face. They can pass the plate and get extra tithes, all they want to. But you can't go out and force your beliefs onto our civil government in an effort to make our civil government look like your weird religion.
That's it. We are a secular government. We are not a theocracy, and they keep wanting to drive us toward.
Oh, they want one so bad.
Scared, you know, that Trump was really going to let us go there, all in the name of him, of course. You did see the golden calf that the CPAC had. Oh, up in, so, that was such a lovely, and all those people.
Yeah, I thought it was golden bull, but
yeah, well, same difference. One that wears flip flops apparently, but.
God, that was just precious, wasn't it?
It is mind-boggling that these people who crow about their religious freedom, supposedly based in a religion, a Christian faith that is based on loving thy neighbor as thyself, being one of the huge commandments that Jesus gave his followers, in addition to loving God with all your heart. And yet none of them see us as their neighbor, even though Jesus was very, very clear that everybody is your neighbor, including us. There was no fine print on that.
Well,
statement.
You know, Matthew 25 says, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers or sisters,
do it to
you've
him.
Done it to me. So every time you can't get much least than 1% or less of the population.
I know. I made that exact thing in my letter. I put those verses and talked about it.
So if you shit on us, you're shitting on Jesus.
That's it. How much clearer can we be on this? If we are not the least of these, I don't know who the hell is.
I mean, I wish there was an extra verse in there where one of those not terribly intelligent disciples would have said, "What?" And Jesus said, "Did I stutter?"
Yeah. That's it. I mean, it's so clear through the New Testament of, you know, the first one without sin can cast the first stone. Okay, then.
But they got a pile of rocks. I got a note here, Terry, from Jeremy in Vermont.
Yeah.
It says, there is no cure. It's with us forever. 100% true. I've been to hours of counseling as well as a child and as an adult. My mom was told it was just a phase, just a stage, and it would go away.
Yeah, I thought that too.
And it went away because I learned to shut up so others wouldn't bother me and my mom wouldn't ask me about it. But it stayed with me for the next 22 or so years. It's who we are.
That is it. It is innate to us. It is innate to us. We know who we are. You ask any little boy or girl, you know, majority of little boys and little girls, you ask, would you like to be the other sex? Ew, no.
Gross.
Why would I want that?
Icky.
Us, on the other hand, we're like, I am. What do you mean? I am. No, you're a little boy. No, I'm a little girl. I'm a girl.
Here's your damn toy guns and your cowboy hat. Get out in the backyard.
We know who we are. Do you think little two-year-olds who come out and say they're the other sex have been transed by the internet? Are they Googling shit at 2 a.m. in the morning when their parents are asleep? No.
No.
We know who we are. We know who we are.
And probably
figure it out a little later, but we know who we are.
And it probably happens in the womb. I mean,
I know it does.
Yeah,
it does.
And in fact, you posted a graphic the other day, and I've got it here, and I'll put it up on my.
It's very colorful, lots of arrows.
I'll put it on my Twitter feed because, you know, once I expanded it to the point where I could see it.
I know it is shit load of data in there.
Yeah, because it's detail rich.
It is.
You know,
that's biology. That needs to be posted under that Congresswoman Green, under her little placard. That should be put right underneath and say, this is the science. This. And have an arrow pointed down. Trust the science. And have an arrow pointed down at that placard. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
And super glue that damn thing right below it. That would be awesome.
But, Terry, I think people like simple answers, especially simple people.
Well, yeah, she's as simple as they get.
And you know, their tiny little lizard brains start aching.
Her and Mrs. Glock from Colorado.
Mrs. Go, wait a minute. You get a cowbell for Mrs. Glock. That's good. by the way, earlier, Steve in New York said Remlap, Utah, and that's E-U-T-A-W, Steve. There's no H in Utah.
Right, Utah.
Well, at least not in
Utah.
Alabama. And
Alabama.
Steve's a proud son of Ohio.
Utah. That's E-U-T-A-W, Utah.
Yeah, that's how you pronounce it, Ohio. Steve said, shit, and I thought Ohio was bad.
Oh, yeah, honey, just come to Alabama.
Or West Virginia. I'll take you right to Fraser's
Mobile?
Bottom.
Mobile, not mobile. Mobile.
Arab.
Mm-hmm.
But we do. We got a place here in West Virginia called, and its name is really Fraser's Bottom.
Or Tusk.
Yeah.
Tuscaloosa. Tusk. There's no K in Tuscaloosa, but we pronounce it Tuscaloosa.
Yeah. So in West Virginia, you can travel from left hand to Fraser's Bottom. That's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
All kidding aside, that graphic is absolutely fascinating because suddenly it doesn't look like there's only two genders.
Imagine that. How many genders there actually are, both chromosomally and biologically. And we are a spectrum, just like the rainbow. Can you pick the real spot where, you know, yellow goes to green? Can you?
No.
You take 20 people and ask them where the spot where yellow becomes green and a rainbow, and you'll get 20 different spots.
Because it's indefinable.
That's right.
But, you know, with all of these transphobes and so forth, you know, my God, they're going to try to go to the potty. All of my transphobes have a deep southern redneck accent. I can't help it. I mean, it's all over the country. But
unless they're English, and then they have a real English Cockney accent.
Or maybe, probably considering the TERFs are rather upper class, it's that posh upper class twit accent.
Like Piers
Morgan.
Morgan, he quit.
Oh, yes, darling. Of course, there's only two genders.
He could not handle being addressed in such a way about Markle. You know, that he, God, that man has such hate.
Well, he got 40,000. He got 41,000 negative comments in under 24 hours. And I, just because he's Piers Morgan, for my purposes, I like to imagine that as 41,000 rotten onions, rotten tomatoes, and rotten cabbages being thrown at him.
I like that. Yeah, he's a real piece of work. He doesn't like our community either, by the way.
Oh, no, of course not. But the fact of the matter is, I mentioned toward the top of the program, Terry, that the goddess of irony is a good goddess, and she's the only deity we worship here on the program.
Yeah, she's the karma goddess too.
And when she serves up a real dandy, we thank her by here at least it's our personal ritual. We thank her by sacrificing a case of whoopee cushions and rubber chickens at midnight in the burn barrel.
Absolutely, you do have religious freedom, so absolutely.
Yes. And so I knew sooner or later, as these bills began to proliferate, and there you were again. I mean, you found it.
They still are, yes.
Mm-hmm. The story comes from LGBTQ Nation, and I cannot tell you the delight with which I read the headline, because, again, it had to happen. A long time ago, and you probably never saw his page. I talk about him a lot here. He's gone, but, my God, his brilliance was endless. There was a guy named Bart Kopp, and he was relentless in going after these right wing religious maniacs, these religion industry shuckers and hustlers. And he said, he would post a picture of one of them, and he'd say, you know, this guy's going to be caught with a man in his mouth one of these days. And sure enough, you know, Ted Haggard, I mean, they're all over the place. And so it's that same phenomenon, that same syndrome. When I saw the headline yesterday and just said, yes, thank you, goddess, thank you. Because it's Alabama. And so the headline reads, and let's all just enjoy this together. Alabama Republican busted looking at trans adult pics online after voting against trans rights. State Senator Tom Whatley, what a great name, used his work account, because genius.
I know, really? Gosh.
To show his appreciation of a trans girl who referred to herself as Bambi Hardcore TG18+, an NB, that means non-binary, an NB trans girl fairy princess. I got a feeling representing Tom Whatley was only typing with one hand, Terry.
You think, there was something about being the girl being thrilled with her G-cup titties, I think was a phrase I
yes.
read, on his tweet, actually. So that's interesting that he likes endowed trans girls like that. So,
yeah, I don't think I could carry those around.
Would you want to bet he is a God-fearing Christian who has used such terminology in his campaigns?
Oh,
office in Alabama, that he is a God-fearing family man.
Oh, come campaign season, every 2 years, you can't keep him out of the First Baptist Church and First Methodist and the. No, you can't. No, I'm here to tell you I'm going to Montgomery to protect our family values and keep them kids from going and trans boys from going into the girls' room. And
they're just going against what God intended, going against God's image. Rebellion. Oh, my. It's just horrible. They just need care. We really care and love these kids. That's why we're doing this, is because we care so much. That we just know in the goodness of our heart, because God told me last night when I was looking at trans porn how bad that was. And, you know.
Whatley, are you doing?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yes, Lord?
Yeah, yes.
Oh, mm-hmm. That was you. Where's the Kleenex?
Yes. Yeah. It is mind-boggling how often the things get thrown at us from pedophilia, which your child is more likely to get abused sexually by a youth pastor at your church than any
Boy Scout troop master.
That too, or a priest in the Catholic Church. The very ones that rail about us are the ones who seem to do it.
Yeah, we're ruining their fun. You know,
methinks they protest too much, Robin. Methinks they do.
Right, because the pedophiles tend to hide inside authority structures.
Oh, sure. And where do you meet kids rather than being a youth pastor or a cub master or, any other number of places? Priest, where kids congregate, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I told this story before, but the first doctor to ever give me a prostate exam was later busted for trying to stick his tongue in the mouth of an incapacitated nursing home patient. And the nursing home patient got enough consciousness to bite his tongue off. And so, you know, Dr. Purr was like, "You ain't got any evidence."
Lord have mercy.
And then, that was just one of those. Well, good isn't that God. Just? I wonder how much he enjoyed that.
Probably not very much. But that just.
And of course, he also ran a storefront evangelical ministry.
Of course he did, because he's trying to fix himself. That's amazing. That's what I think a lot of it is. It's like, if I hate people that are like me enough, God will give me just all kinds of brownie points and fix or cure me. Because I'm hating what he hates. You see, I think that's what their reason. I don't. How else could they not think something like that? Why do they hate us so much when they are the same thing? I mean, studies have shown that the ones who are most rabid about us generally end up with sexuality and gender issues, that they have those themselves.
Well, as I've noted on a number of occasions. These right-wing Christians spend more time talking about how LGBTQ people have sex than LGBTQ people think about how they have sex.
Yeah, pretty much. Why is that such a fascination with them?
Well, You and I both were raised in the Deep South, and we know how much repression goes into just entering the world there.
Yeah, well, there's that. Yeah. You gotta hate yourself. You know, you're sin. You're in sin. You were born in sin, and you're a sinner, and you're condemned, and you just need to get right with God so you don't go to hell. Because if you go to hell, you're gonna burn forever, ever and ever and ever, because God just fucking hates you, even though you might have just lived 20 years. You're gonna suffer forever and ever and ever for eternity.
Because God loves you so much.
Makes you want to love God, doesn't it? Like, what's going to happen in eternity if I go to heaven? Are there any say? I mean, what? Lord have mercy.
Yeah. Do you really want to be in an afterlife that has Billy Graham and Oral Roberts and Jerry Falwell in it?
Wasn't the devil there? What happened to him? Why did he fall? He was in paradise.
Couldn't stand the occupants, like, most likely.
Okay. What's up with that? That's what I used to ask that question as a kid, and I'd be quickly told that I asked too many questions.
You too, because you were raised in the church, and so was I.
I am. And the Seventh-day Adventist.
And I'm Southern Baptist, and you know exactly which one, and you know how awful we are.
Highland.
Shut up. And that's where the whole fellowship hall business and prayer meeting Wednesday dinner comes from, the thing we do on Wednesdays here.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. It was almost like if you didn't go to your church, Highland Baptist Church, in that town we grew up in, you were going to hell automatically because you didn't attend Highland. I was... Oh my God!
But we were both dipped by the heel, and we both pursued it ardently because we were brainwashed into it, and you know, you were asking your questions about the fall of the fall of Lucifer. By the way, I mentioned this last night on the program. The new little kitty cat, who is a tortoise shell and is just crazy and adorable and lovable, and my son has renamed her because she irritated him yesterday. She's young enough to get a name. You know, we all like to get new names, don't we?
Sure, yeah.
And her new name is Lucifer.
Lucifer?
Yes. Lucy. Yes, Lucifer. Lucifer, Lucy for short. And I have to admit, it fits.
Have you seen the show Lucifer?
Yes.
Oh, my God. It's one of my all-time favorite TV shows. It is just amazingly excellent.
And it actually makes as much or more sense than most of the stuff in the Bible.
I know. It's like...
But you were asking questions about Lucifer and the fall of Satan and why did he want out of heaven anyway? Yeah. I think one of the first side eyes I ever got from my mom was when I looked at her and I said, "Judas really gets a bad rap, doesn't he?" Not exactly those terms, but she was like, "What?" I said, "No, no crucifixion, no grace, no salvation without Judas, and yet he's in hell."
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it really bothered my mom.
But it's like at the end, he gets it. He understands and realizes what the hell he did.
Yeah. Well, he gets a bad rap, especially in John, which was written a long time after Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
John Paul, George, Ringo.
Yeah, right. Yes. But one of the funny things that I learned from a dear friend of mine, an author and activist by the name of Jeff Biggers, who wrote in a book called In the Sierra Madre, he spent a year in the Sierra Madre of Mexico among a very isolated group of indigenous people called the Rarámuri. And they're a fascinating people, and they have an Easter celebration every year, Terry. And I always wanted to go to Mexico and see this. You know who the hero of the Easter pageant is among the Rarámuri?
No idea.
Judas.
Why?
Because he sets it all in motion. He makes the whole thing possible. No Judas, no Easter.
Well, that's right. Absolutely.
And so you ask I think we ask these questions in tandem with who we were even then.
Well, you know, it's pretty clear, you know, to me anyway, reading the gospel, what Judas never intended for Jesus to get crucified. That was he wanted to push things so that Jesus would just gall righteous fury on the Romans and bring the kingdom here. That's what Judas thought. He didn't get it that he was actually the Son of God till later.
Everybody comes to the realization differently. But with all of this being the business of,
who doesn't commit suicide like that, with that kind of realization that falls upon you, that you brought the Son of God to his death? You did. Oh, that's some serious guilt, don't you think? That's some serious fucking guilt.
Yeah, many cultures deal with it the same way. Romans, mm-hmm. Asian cultures, sure.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're going way off tangent, but
we do that. But coming back to the issue of these noxious, odious bills. Mm. Is there any sort of, like Einstein's unified field theory? Is there any data out there to explain why it is that these zealous monsters are so fixated on what goes on in bathrooms? Is it because, have you seen any data? Is it because they sit around and think that that's exactly what they would do if they got a chance, that they would commit a rape in a bathroom?
No, I think it's them coming up with reasons that they think will sell. They hate us, basically. They want to erase us from society. They feel like this is all coming from a religious viewpoint, ultimately. If you look at all these hate groups, websites, and their policies and positions, it's all a religious thing. They think we are truly abominations of God. God hates us. They hate us. And that the world would be a much better place if we just ceased to exist.
And they want
to make our lives as shitty as possible. So either we never, ever come out, or two, we just kill ourselves. So that's a win-win for them.
And we're taking, you know, we're potentially taking all the transness out of the gene pool if we just kill ourselves.
That's it. Yeah. And so there's that. They just basically want us gone, and they're just trying to go.
But isn't that genocide, Terry?
It won't stop here. It will not stop with the kids. If they get huge wins with this, they will push on to us, the adults, and they will try to criminalize any kind of HRT for anybody and make sure that these surgeries can't take place and call them mutilation or, you know, acts against God. They'll come up with all kinds of stuff. That's why they keep pushing the religious freedom carve-outs. Know exactly what they want to do. It's all there.
Right, and that's why I just said.
This is not a QAnon thing. This is go look at their websites. Go read their shit.
Yeah, they say it out loud.
Yeah.
But in the long run, Terry, isn't that a genocide? I mean, isn't that the erasure of an entire demographic?
Yes, we are the unclean. We are the modern-day pariah for these people. They are the Nazis, and we are the Jews.
Well, I mean, and frankly, you know, in as much
there
as
there is no whataboutism. As I said before, it'd be like, well, we're going to have a Nazi sit down, and we're going to have a Jew sit down, and we're going to debate this topic of that the Nazis want to exterminate all the Jews and the Jews just want to live. What kind of compromise can we come to on this?
Right. Yeah, because both
and
sides
have a good civil, you know, conversation, a debate, and it's a what about? Whataboutism, right? Both sides, we can talk about this because each side has a right to their opinion. Isn't that right?
Yeah, you know, there's two sides to every coin. But meanwhile, you know, it's like they don't even realize how obvious they're being, because at the same time that the Nazi regime was forcing Jews to wear a yellow Star of David sewn to their clothing, any non-heterosexual, non-binary person was having a pink triangle stitched to theirs. Yeah. And they went off to the ovens, too.
They did. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, the examples exist. Oh, and by the way, had a note from Brendan, and you be, you know, one of the other, Terry has this rich and varied life, and she's a wonderful, she's a wonderful musician. And so Brendan asks, have you ever listened to the song Stand Up for Judas by the British folk singer Leon Rossillon? I'd love to hear your opinion. Peace, dudettes, Brendan. Thank you, Brendan.
I have not. I got
that's for after the show. I got to check that out because
I got to check that out too. I have not.
Leon Rossillon. I'll message you later. Thanks, Brendan. Thanks for that, and thank you very kindly.
Of course, take a walk on the wild side is about the trans community.
Absolutely, and then he was or she and said, "Hey, Joe." Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you very kindly. Get back by the Beatles.
Get on back, Loretta, with your low neck sweater and your high heeled sneakers.
Yeah. Your mama's waiting for you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very kindly to Steve and Miss Karen and little Cletus. The fundraising goal just dropped to $785. Thank you so much, y'all.
Sweet.
Yes. Let's see. Representing Whatley, you know, good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-mentalist, homosexual.
If he was a Democrat, that would be the end of his career.
Yes.
But apparently any Republican
Because we've got
a double standard.
Yeah, we've got
a double standard for them.
Yeah, we've got a saying here, I-O-K-I-Y-A-R. It's okay if you're a Republican. But as to representing Whatley.
Wink and nod. Yeah. Yep.
Not perfect, just forgiven.
That's right. Just forgiven. I have the blood of Christ, and
my boss is a Jewish carpenter. I've seen that bumper sticker too.
And while you're anti-Semitic all at the same time, that works, doesn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. Stephen New York said, representing Whatley, he was just doing research. Is that it? I'm sure.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Research, just because of this bill, he wanted to be really well informed. Yeah.
Okay, engorged. There went dinner in the Central Standard Time Zone. Good for you. I'm glad I'm not the only one. There was another story that you and Nikki covered in the last couple of weeks with all these anti-trans sports bills, high school sports, because this country, can you imagine a high school that didn't have sports programs? I mean, they do exist in other parts of the world where high school is for education.
Real religion here in the South. We built stadiums to go worship the football stars.
But we're all worried about the little trans girls playing volleyball, little trans girls playing field hockey, I guess, little trans girls running track, whatever. And so that being the case, lo and behold, and I mentioned this the other night on the program, but you went into much more depth with it. The young woman's name was Heaven, I think, in North Carolina.
Oh yes. I had Nikki delve into that cause I thought it was such an awesome thing. Yes. Miss Heaven, won wrestling championship in her state. Except she didn't win the girls. She won the boys. And she is a cisgender female, which means she was born and identified as a girl. She's been a girl. Hasn't transitioned from the other sex. She's been a girl her whole life.
Apparently born a girl, going to be a girl. Girl, girl, girl.
She is girl, girl, girl. And she beat every damn boy, cis boy, on the wrestling team in a state championship.
Probably trans the lot of them just by doing that.
Oh, I'm sure they did. Shit, they probably all want to go wrestle on the girls' team and probably all became trans the next day.
Happens like that.
It does. I know. It's amazing how we get trans so easily.
One day you're picking your nose and scratching at yourself.
Where are the cries that she is erasing boys' sports, taking scholarships away from these boys who would have gotten a place in college just based on their wrestling skill, and this girl stole it from her. Stole it!
And yet, crickets.
Crickets, nothing. Where's the uproar, the upcry? And I just want to reiterate.
Because they can't get away with it.
Yeah. That, they go on about how trans women, we're going to erase women's sports, we're going to win everything, we enter every competition, anything and everything is just going to be won by a trans woman athlete. And yet, since 2004, when the Olympic Committee allowed trans women to qualify for the Olympics, to even be in a trial to qualify for the Olympics to compete, not a single trans woman, not a single one in 17 years has qualified, much less competed.
Or won anything.
Olympics. Yeah, not won anything. not any. So where is this biological advantage that they speak of that is amazingly endowed to the male body at birth? It's not there. And what we do get, we lose within a year of being on estrogen. We lose it.
6 months.
Especially hemoglobin.
Six months, and the changes are taking place. I mean, I can feel it.
You know how much oxygen-carrying capacity we lose so quickly? It's like 30% within 6 months, most of it. We go to cis female levels that quick in our oxygen-carrying capacity. We lose muscle mass. We're sterile carrying around a male. This is trans women because they don't talk about trans men. You know, they're not going to win anyway. But for us, it's like we get the male skeleton in puberty since most of us didn't get to have puberty blockers and get a female skeleton with that. So we have heavy bones.
Yeah.
Carrying around heavy bones with female muscles, with female blood. And female lung capacity, because we lose so much of that.
Right, because not all of gender is defined between one's legs.
No, it is not.
In fact, you could probably argue that most of it is defined between one's ears,
mm-hmm.
and in the various
and hormones,
bodily systems.
Our secondary sexual characteristics are really the gender characteristics that most people will identify somebody as male or female. When's the last time anybody saw someone's genitalia, unless it was like an intimate situation or at the doctor?
Right, but these right wing these Republicans, I guess they want it. You know, I flipped out the first, not flipped out, but it was a little odd to me the first time I was in Europe, and I walked into the men's room, and there's this woman standing there. And she's the attendant. She makes sure the restroom stays,
right,
nice, and you tip her. And but I was kind of like, do I need to wait? I mean, it was Italy.
Yeah.
And so... With that, it freaked me out a little bit because, 16 years old or something, 15, something.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's a marker on a door.
Uh-huh.
And I can't imagine going into a restroom for any other purpose than bodily elimination or
right.
bodily fluid or substance elimination. But that's what's on these Republicans' minds. Just like what was that? My great big G cup titties were on Representative Whatley's mind. And I there's just such a disconnect that I can't wrap my mind around it. It's physically painful. But as the article at LGBTQ Nation points out, back in 2018, Alex Jones got caught looking at him some trans porn.
Oh yeah, that was an accident though. He said it was.
Yeah, I did not. How do you accidentally go to the trans porn site, Terry?
No idea, because I've never accidentally done that, nor have I intentionally done it. So
I mean, I'm looking at my keyboard here.
I don't know.
Okay, I understand. I understand now. You could be typing into Mr. Google, girl, G cup. And the G of girl is, well, the T is just above the G on the keyboard, so you accidentally type T girl.
Yeah, I can see accidentally going to some porn sites, like if you want to go to whitehouse.gov and you actually type in whitehouse.com, that is a different site.
Sure.
I did that once at the office, and it was like, oh, shit. Oh, my God, if that appears on my history. It's like, oh,
erase
shit.
Browser history. Erase browser history.
Yeah, right. So, but it wasn't a trans porn. It was just your general run-of-the-mill, cis porn. But I quickly got away from that. But to go to a trans porn site, yeah, you got to type in something a little more specific.
You kind of got to want to be there.
Yeah, you kind of want to be there because those aren't just, simple alliterations.
Yeah, we were talking a few nights ago
URL,
about
URL. You know,
back in the bad old days of the reign of error under W. Bush, there was a guy who was approved for White House press credentials as a right wing journalist, and he came from an outfit called Talon News, T-A-L-O-N, Talon News.
Talon. Okay.
But it turned out he had a prior history of running a website called Hot Military Studs for You. And there's just no way to type in the green bean casserole recipe and come up with Hot Military Studs for You. It's not, that's the infinite monkeys and the infinite typewriters, and it hasn't happened yet. No. What, obviously you've referenced the fact that you're writing letters and I'm doing the same.
And I had a video ready to go that I was going to post to Governor Kay Ivey on her Twitter feed and also her Facebook page, imploring her to veto that bill and delving into the reasons.
It hasn't
why.
Gotten to her desk yet, has it?
No, because it wasn't voted on today. And so, ergo, it does not go to her desk until it gets voted on and reconciled.
Yeah, because the House...
I don't know if it goes back to the legislature after it comes out of the Health Committee, does it?
Well, it comes out of committee.
Or does it go to her desk after that point?
Well, both bills have to match in order to go to her desk.
Right.
It has to be one bill, basically.
Correct.
So, that reconciliation process usually happens in a conference committee between with members of the House and members of the Senate, and they hammer it out, and then they take the new bill back and they vote on it again.
This was just the Health Committee. It wasn't a conference committee.
No. But once it gets approved by the full body, it still has the both approved bills have to be merged.
Correct.
And then they got to be voted on again. So what I'm getting at is there's still time for people to be allies and be activists with us and reach out.
Reach out to members of the Health Committee of the House of the Alabama Legislature.
And
look up the committee name, and you can look up all their members, and you can access all their emails. I sent emails to every single one of them, and they all went. Okay, they didn't get kicked back, so they're all working.
But it's also Arkansas. Our dear friend Haley is tracking all of that crap up there.
No, God, yeah.
Same thing.
Mississippi, Tennessee, Georgia, Florida.
South Dakota, Utah.
South Carolina, North Carolina, Utah, Arizona, Montana. It's just state after state after state after
New
state.
New Hampshire. That's the one that just really creeped me out.
And Maine. Maine has one.
Because all these states have Republicans.
It's just like, what the fuck? You know? West Virginia, state, has like four, I think.
Yeah, we had one little victory, the one that let, the one that would have had, would have given the right to mental health and foster care agencies to discriminate against little trans kids and little gay kids. That actually, they were so thoroughly shamed that they actually pulled the bill.
Oh, nice.
So apparently it's done. That bill, at least, is done for this session.
Yeah. I mean, there's bills about updating gender markers on ID, refusing to change gender on birth certificates, even if you've had surgery. There's bills like that. It's just a plethora of bills. It is just mind-boggling, the amount of hate being directed at us, like, thou shalt not do this, and we're going to make it just so that you can't.
They're going to
make it against the law for us to even dress as our gender. That if you were born as a guy, it would be as the opposite sex. And it's like, well, what if I walk around as like a butch lesbian? How are you going to tell?
Yeah, so, and that's what I was getting at with the restroom attendants. I guess these right-wing Christians want somebody checking down the trousers.
Well, that's the Georgia bill. Want to have a panel of three men basically checking the genitalia of girl athletes to ensure that they are female.
And really? You know, I'm reminded, I think historically.
That is mind-boggling. 1%, Robin, we are 1% maybe of the whole population, and yet we are enemy number one these days.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know? And you know, other states are enlightened. You know, there are states, you probably know which ones they are, I don't. But there are states where you don't actually have to have had bottom surgery, trans male or trans female, in order to get your to get your gender markers changed on your birth certificate. Now, you in Alabama had to go all the way through the surgical process before you could do that. Is that correct?
Yes, I had to. I had to have surgery before I could have my gender marker changed and my birth certificate and the driver's license is, you know, the Holy Grail ID document. And it's become never meant to be that way, but it's become that way. You know, you're asked to, it has your address on it. You can show your passport, of which that was the first document I got that showed me as female, but it doesn't have your address on it. So if you got to show ID that has your address on it, that's your driver's license.
You know, there's a concept inside the Constitution, you know? Terry, called full faith and credit. And it means that one state has to recognize
the other,
the laws of the other. So what happens, I wonder, maybe, I don't know if this has maybe happened in one of the bigot states. What happens if, say, you are pre-op, but you've jumped through all the flaming barbed wire hoops in your civilized state? And so you've got your appropriate gender marker on your driver's license from that state, and you move to Alabama and you have to get a new driver's license.
I'd have to look that up, but it is possible that they would require you to show a birth certificate. And of course, it would depend on if you got your birth certificate changed. Some states reissue you one, like a brand new one. Does it show that it's been amended? It will be just like you were slapped, and it's a girl kind of thing. If you have been assigned a boy, and no one will ever
know. See, this is all very
Alabama. You get an amended birth certificate. Yes, mine does show me female, but if you read it closely enough, you'll see a spot on it that says so and so has been changed. That this box, which is the gender box, has been modified. Yeah, they get you coming and going.
Yeah, what's the point? That's just shitty. That's just shitty.
It is just shitty because they wouldn't be. You were identified as a male at birth, and by God, that's what you're going to be until the day you die. We don't give a shit what it does.
Because that's how Jesus signed your birth certificate.
Yeah, as if that changes anything. It's like I was recorded male at birth on January the 6th, 1963. That's not ever going to change. That data point is set in the tally of male live births of that year. I am tallied. That was all the fuck it was for. That's all it was for. Yeah. That's all a birth certificate was for, is a record of live birth.
Yeah, but I mean,
we
this
have
has
made it into, you know, so much more than that.
Yeah, this has real world implications for me because I live in West Virginia.
Born in Alabama.
Right. And so we've got a little bit more enlightened processes. It's not real clear, but I should be able to change gender markers at least on, you know, if I go through the circuit court, then go to Social Security, go get my passport, then I use my passport for the ID to get my driver's license. The driver's license gets changed. It don't matter. None of that matters. Because if I want to change my birth certificate, I have to go all the way through the same process that you did to get my Alabama birth certificate changed. I cannot be miraculously changed to a born West Virginian.
No, ma'am, you may not. Okay, and if you come back to Alabama and live in Alabama, having done all that in West Virginia, and you have a driver's license that shows you are female, you come to Alabama, and I know this for a fact, they will issue you a driver's license that shows you as being male because you were male in the system. And they will pull that shit up, Robin.
So no full faith and credit?
Not on that regard, no, because I know people that has happened to. Had a female driver's license from another state, did not have surgery, but they were born and had had a driver's license in Alabama previously that showed them to be male. And they issued them a driver's license.
And what are the real world implications of that, Terry? I mean,
fuck you over because you've got to show your driver's license. That's the documentation that you generally copy and give to your human resources department for your insurance, Social Security. And if it shows male and you're like, oh, fuck, you've been a woman, you've lived as a woman or vice versa, you know. You're a trans guy, you're a guy, you got a full beard, and everybody takes you for a guy, and your driver's license says you're a woman, well, that causes a big problem if you've been stealth and you're not out and that sort of thing. Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, you just used the magic word, stealth. There's another aspect to these noxious bills in Alabama that I noticed in my reading. Apparently, there's a provision that requires teachers to rat out their trans students.
I know, isn't that special? Isn't that special?
I mean, my God, if you were a teacher and this law passes, this bill passes and becomes law, and you call, because the bill says you have to call the parents and say, oh, by the way, did you know your little boy Johnny is running around in a dress at school and calling herself Janie? And you read the next day that that child was beaten to death by their mother or their father?
Mm-hmm. Why, then you just pat yourself on the back as a good little Christian and go on your way. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
You did the right thing. I mean, the good book does say you must obey the laws of your government. That God put that in place to govern you. And so, you know, if you got to fuck somebody over to obey God, well, okay.
It's just who God is.
There's a real disconnect on that. But, yeah, can you imagine that? And, of course, there will be teachers who will gladly rat out.
We went to school to teachers student. Like that.
Oh, shit, yeah. All the Church of Christ teachers we had, that's why we didn't have a prom. Because, oh, my God, there's dancing at
there's
prom.
Dancing.
Prom. And dancing leads to sex, and we can't have that going on.
Yep. Oddly enough, they never looked around at all the children sitting there in the pews at the church. Where did they come from? I got a note from Matt in San Francisco. Meet the new right-wing Christians, same as the old right-wing Christians. I remember watching TV when I was about 14 or 15. There was a debate on. It was Harvey Milk debating John Briggs. Briggs was pushing a bill about banning gay people from being able to teach children in school. Briggs used all the same talking points you hear today. I just remember feeling terrible. I knew I was one of those people to whom he was referring. I was so confused because I knew I liked boys, but I certainly didn't want to recruit any children, and I didn't think I was evil. I was just a gay boy who apparently did not fully appreciate how evil and doomed I was. I came out 7 years later, before being gay was cool. I was often the only gay person people knew, the only gay guy at work, the only gay supervisor at work, the only gay manager at work. I know what it's like to be dismissed in meetings, talked over, have your ideas ignored, only to have the straight guy implement those ideas and take credit for it, etc., etc., etc. I lived by the belief that we all had to come out. Like Harvey Milk preached continuously, come out wherever you are. The more people saw us and knew us, the less they could buy into all the hateful stories the Christians would spread.
To be visible.
In many ways, trans folks are at that place I occupied those many years ago. I'm so thankful to all the trans people in my life and those that have a platform and are out. The more of all of us you see, the more we understand and appreciate your beauty. I'm tearing up a little bit, Matt. Thanks.
Wow.
Trans is.
That is awesome. We need more people like you, Matt. We need more people like you. Oh, my God.
And then just the.
Because unfortunately, there's transphobia within the LGB community as well.
Yeah. And Matt closes saying simply, trans is beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt.
Thank you for that.
And you know much better than I do because, as the saying, the parlance in the community goes, my egg only recently cracked, although I think my egg was smashed on the sidewalk decades ago.
Your egg cracked a long time ago, as mine did. Just because your egg cracks doesn't mean you step out of the shell.
Exactly.
I carried mine around for a long time. I used to talk about it, my mail suit, and how cracked and frayed it was and how tired I was of trying to keep it intact.
you'll understand, I think, because I know you've been there. I've gotten to the point now, fully out, that the very idea of putting on an old pair of my blue jeans is hateful. I call it boy drag.
Yeah, but you'll get to the point where you'll use those jeans for some dirty ass job, and they'll just be a pair of jeans.
Well, actually,
women wear men's clothes like that all the time, and it's no big deal.
So. Right, but you know, at this stage, it's just like. Ugh.
And honey, they won't fit the same by then. So
I have a feeling that's already the case. but I was talking to my partner earlier today, and I said I think it's time to box a lot of stuff up and go to Goodwill.
Yeah.
And that's a milestone.
Oh yeah, it's a surreal thing too. It is.
And you know, we've talked some off air about, you know, the work I do in DC and stuff, and
right.
I can't wait, because I will not go back in one of those boring chalk stripe.
They won't fit either.
That's...
Your old suits are not going to fit you. You're going to lose shoulder width, mass. It's just going to be so different, and you won't really realize in some ways how much you've changed in your body until you put on an old set of clothes like that, and you're like, holy fuck.
Wow. Because I haven't done that yet.
Yeah, go put on one of your old suit jackets and see how that
goes. Ooh, yeah. I don't know if I'm down for that level of dysphoria just right yet.
Yes, but it can come with euphoria as well. Okay, there's that element to be gained when you do that. Like, holy shit, yes.
You know, this is an interesting note coming in from Randy Radar. We were told during the Cold War that the East German Olympian women, who were altered men, were cheating, and we all believed it. How does that fit into the current discussion about trans kids in high school sports?
Well, I mean, that is the mantra that to have, especially, they never talk about trans boys, okay? They don't see them as a threat. They don't see them as an issue, because nobody believes that a trans boy or man is going to win anything, except, of course, one has won in Olympic trials. Chris Mosler, a trans man power walker, has won a qualifying round and will be in the Olympics. It will be the first trans athlete. But that aside, trans girls are seen as cheaters, that we have inherent biological advantages that no estrogen will ever erase, that we basically become Wonder Women, basically men masquerading as Wonder Women because, well, that most amazing and glorious hormone, testosterone, just endows us with superhuman abilities. And it's a lie.
And in point of fact, the East German thing that Randy raised, those were cis women who had been juiced with mm-hmm. tea.
Right, exactly.
And it's a mm-hmm. you know, on our side of the spectrum, you know, there's that old saying, you know, estrogen's a hell of a drug. Well, so too is testosterone for a trans boy.
Oh God, yeah, it does the opposite. You know, it increases muscle mass, it increases oxygen carrying capacity, increases lung capacity. It does an amazing things, because the human body responds no matter what your chromosomes are. The human body is engineered and designed to react to either hormone, especially in abundance. When it becomes the majority hormone, you develop the secondary sexual characteristics that hormone provides. And if it's testosterone, you get the male ones. And if it's estrogen, you get the female ones.
And it really is that simple.
It's that damn simple. It doesn't matter what your chromosomes are. You're going to get those sexual characteristics. If you have a majority of that hormone circulating in your body for a sufficient amount of time, and it ain't long before permanent changes result. It can be as little as 3 months. It's generally around 6. So you damn well better be sure.
Yeah. I'm passing the point of no return, and I'm waving bye-bye at it in the rearview mirror.
Yeah. I mean, I've often talked about, and other people have, that HRT can be a weeder. It's a weeder program, because if you're really trans, you're going to know it going on hormones. You're either going to really like it and you're trans, or you're going to really hate it. You're not trans. Okay. It's a quick thing. If you don't like it going on estrogen, honey, you ain't trans. Okay. Cause you're just not biomedically engineered for that. And it's not going to work no matter how you try. It's going to give you severe dysphoria. You know, Dr. William Powers, who admits to being very vain, has concocted various skin lotions to try to keep himself looking young and all this kind of stuff. And he uses an estrogen-based lotion to put on his face because it, you know, swells out the wrinkles and makes his skin a little thinner, but it doesn't induce feminization at the concentration that he uses. Well, one time he miscalculated the dosage, and he was getting like full bore dose in his lotion for feminization. And he said that what it did to him was give him severe dysphoria. And he finally understood what it was to have it. Made him a better doctor, that little accident. So, again, if you're not transgender, you're going to hate the opposite sex hormone. You're going to hate it because it
And in my case,
you're going to love it. Gives you euphoria.
Yeah,
it's like you finally got a good breath.
Yeah,
you went from a searing desert.
Yeah.
to a beautiful meadow.
Yeah, you know, or being thirsty and getting that ice cold swig of water. Nothing
it's
better
just
on
what
earth.
It's like.
Yeah.
But that is what it's like for us.
And it's really neat how members of our community here can sort of anticipate me and things that I'm thinking. It happens all the time. It's fascinating. So Darlene in Connecticut said, "What about having to show ID or your driver's license in order to vote?" I hadn't even thought about that. I got to get this stuff changed, or you know, when I go when I go swanning up to my polling place, they might not let me vote, Terry.
Voted in 2018?
I voted in 2018. Yeah.
I mean, I did, and I used my passport as my ID. It showed me as female. You can use a passport as an official ID to vote with. If you have issues in getting your marker changed in a state like Alabama, get your passport. You can get your marker changed on a passport without having surgery. That's why I got one, so I could have an ID document that showed me as female. And it did come in handy several times when I had to show ID, but I didn't have to show my driver's license. But it gives you an ID that shows you who you are. And of course, I would get it once you change your name. Because if you've got it showing you're female and you're John Doe, you know, it raises questions you really don't want to answer.
And you don't
want
to.
Don't make things worse for yourself. Okay?
And most of the trans community, much like the rest of the LGBTQ plus community, I think we skew more toward Democrats. Because we kind of have, I mean, you know, the log cabin Republican, the log closet Republicans are out there.
Oh, I know trans women who are Trump supporters. Ardent Trump supporters.
He can
go on about how they're not a one-issue voter.
Yeah, and they wear T-shirts that he can grab mine anytime he wants after I have one.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Jesus.
Yeah. It is beyond ludicrous.
But I think by and large, we skew left and we skew toward the Democrats. And that being the case,
us and they protect us and they give us rights, whereas the Republicans want to just kill us.
It really is that simple. And
sometimes
so that
in
means
a passive way, but we're still dead. Okay. Regardless.
Exactly. And so that means that we are a suspect class for having our vote suppressed. And so if you show up and show your voter ID and show your gender marker doesn't match your presentation, that's automatically a reason for the other side, because I don't know how it is in Alabama, but you show up and you know, all the names are in the Democrat book, and then there's a Republican book. And there's a Republican poll watcher and a Democrat poll watcher.
Uh-huh, and they'll just question your vote.
Right, and say, yeah, I challenge this ballot. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, you didn't vote.
That's it.
I mean, there are minefields here I thank Darlene for asking that question, because that was not part of my calculus. But by God, it better be.
It better be. But you can get a passport.
Yes. Okay,
that will show you female. And if you can get your driver's license changed to female without having to worry about your birth certificate, I would do that.
And I can here.
That's the state you live in.
Yeah.
You know.
And so,
West Virginia, you could without having to have surgery.
Yeah, you can. You can get a driver's license. There's a petition to the DMV, and mm-hmm. as long as you can show a piece of ID with your gender on it, like mm-hmm. a passport, that will suffice to change your gender marker on your operators.
We'll get the passport first, then.
Yeah, and Social Security.
There's a way to do this. So,
yeah,
Social Security, you don't really get a. Your card doesn't show you.
No, your card doesn't change, but their data within the system does.
Yes, within the system does, yes. And I had that changed. I was female first in Social Security. Because that happened in 2017 when I changed my name, got my gender marker changed, Social Security. But, you know, the kicker was that at work, I could not be female. Until my driver's license showed it.
Passport or no passport?
Passport or no passport. That's what I was in the system. That's what my insurance knew, put me down as. Didn't matter if I had female on my passport. Didn't matter that I was female on Social Security. The state did not see me as female. And ergo, I was not. Didn't matter what the federal government saw me as.
Lee in New York writing, subject line, driver's license. This is good. Lee comes at some things from a different angle. If the driver's license shows your gender at birth, does it show your height and weight at the same time? Height, 21 inches, weight, 7 pounds, 7 ounces. Just wondering.
Yeah, I know exactly. And have argued that before. It's like, it's a point in time. Let me have another visual examination with a gynecologist or obstetrician and check my gender, get a second opinion. You know, they would qualify me as female since I'm had bottom surgery. No chromosome tests are done at birth unless there's a serious problem going on. So yeah, it's like my hair color is different, my height is different, my weight is different. Why the hell does all that shit matter at this point anyway? I was a point in time.
Just
and it was
a data
so
point.
Reported. Just a data point. That data point has now changed. It is different.
And I just got a note from our pal Cynthia. She's out in the Bay Area. And you want to talk? Cynthia is one of those folks that I have profound respect for. Because just as Matt wrote from San Francisco that, you know, he was the only gay kid in groups, you know, and was literally a pioneer, and so many of our brothers and sisters were. Cynthia was one of those pioneers too. I'm trying to remember the timeline absolutely correctly, Terry, but I'm pretty sure Cynthia. I know Cynthia was, you know, trans in the '80s and started and transitioned in the '90s when
wow.
it was when it was a wildly different process, even in somewhere like, you know, the Bay Area.
Oh yeah, right.
She is a heroine to me, and I just adore her. And she has sent me wonderful affirming notes about her life, and I'm really grateful. And she just wrote, "Trans Trumpansies, yeah, yeah. Some of us are batshit fucking crazy. Well, I guess there were probably Jews who loved Hitler all the way to the gas chambers too. You know, he's got some great economic policies. I'm not a single issue Hitler voter."
Uh-huh. That's it. Same difference.
Yeah. Cynthia says, "I'll never understand it, though, but I sure am glad to be in California, not someplace like Alabama, though." And it's completely understandable. I mean, there's a lot to love. And Terry, you've spent your life there. I grew up there. I go back there. There's mm-hmm. a lot to love. But my God, it comes at a cost.
At a huge cost when you're different, if you're gay. Or your LGBTQ plus it's always a constant worry. It's always a constant concern of what someone might do to you just because of who you are. Just because of who you are. That you're different.
And COVID being COVID, of course, it's limited a lot of our mobility in the last year. But before COVID hit, you were out and you were living your authentic life. How careful do you have to be where you are?
I really don't, because I pass. Okay, there's that other buzzword, like stealth. It means people take me for a woman. I don't look trans. And so I don't get any issues. I don't have any issues using the restroom, changing rooms, anything. I mean, if I've been clocked or read, which means someone recognizes me as transgender and not cis-born, I have not known of it. So I've been fairly safe. I don't use my last name on social media. I'm always Terry Allen. My last name is only used at work in a professional setting. I try to keep very little connection between those two names for safety, purely safety. But I've been lucky. I never thought I would pass at all. I mean, transitioning in my mid-50s, shit, who would think that?
And every trans person's concern is passing.
Oh, well, some people, you know, in our community see that as a dirty word and that it shouldn't be about that. And no, it shouldn't be. And it would be nice if everybody was just accepted as they are and nobody.
But that ain't the world we live in.
And that ain't the world we live in. If you go around Walmart and you're dressed in a way that you are walking red flag, don't bitch at me or whine at me about people accepting you. Don't freaking do that. You assimilate. You look like other people. You fit in is what you do.
I mean, isn't
that
the goal?
That's just how it is. That's just how it is, you know?
And some of that's a very real worry for me. I mean, not turning this into a counseling session or anything. Some of that's a very real worry for me because I got all the things that testosterone was supposed to do.
Oh, yeah. You're tall. You have broad shoulders. You have big hands. You have big feet.
Jesus, Robin. The feet.
Okay. There's not a damn thing we can do about that. That was one of the things I, you know, talked about in my video to Governor Ivey. It's like, I went through a male puberty. I didn't get puberty blockers. And so I got big hands. I got big feet. I got broad shoulders. And HRT later in life does not erase any of it. It might diminish it. But my hands are just as big. My feet are just as big. I'm just as tall. My shoulders have gotten a little smaller, but they're still broad. And that's the way it will be until I die. It doesn't change your skeletal structure. It doesn't. That's done. Once you go through puberty, male or female,
there's no turning back.
There's no turning back. There's no eraser of that when you go on the opposite sex HRT. It doesn't do anything to that is already done. That's why kids need to go through puberty blockers so that shit doesn't happen. And they can go through a puberty of the gender they are. And so they get a female skeleton if they're a trans girl. Or they get a male skeleton if they're a trans guy. And, oh, my God, the wonders that that brings to you that you cannot get back, that you cannot change later in life when they say that you then have the maturity and the understanding to make such decision. Well, fuck, that decision's already been made for you, and you didn't even get a say in it. Isn't that nice?
Yeah, you didn't get a vote.
You didn't get a vote because they stripped you of it. And this is what these bills, especially in Alabama and others, exactly want to do.
I mean, can you? You're a scientist. You're not a medical scientist, but you study this. What are? I mean, we that term gets tossed around, Terry. Puberty blockers. What are they? I mean, is that the GnRH agonists?
Basically it shuts down the production of sexual hormones. It's testosterone and it's estrogen that drives puberty. It kicks the gonads in the gear. Okay, once you get testosterone you know, in a male body, you build muscle mass, you get a growth spurt, you're building bone, the skeleton enlarges, and it's the broad shoulders and the big hands and big muscles. You know, building muscles build bones because big muscles pull on bones and it makes strong bones. It's synergistic to each other. You get stronger muscles because you got stronger bones, which then drives more bigger bones and so on and so forth. You know, it does an amazing things. And it blocks that. It blocks the production of testosterone. It blocks the production of estrogen. You do not go through puberty. You continue to grow in age. Doesn't stop that. Especially with trans boys, going on puberty blockers allows them to get more height. Because if they go through a female puberty, girls are shorter because estrogen closes off the growth plates quickly, whereas testosterone doesn't close off the growth plates of bones until like 2022. So males get a lot more height because they're able to grow. Females are not. They get shut off quickly. And so for a trans boy to go on puberty blockers, he might get 4 more inches of height, whereas he might have turned out as 5'4 or 5'2. And instead, he's going to be 5'6 or 5'8, which is about the average height of a male in America. That's huge. That means he looks the same as the other guys standing around him. He's not short. And then vice versa, a trans girl, if she can go on HRT at 12 or 14, which hardly ever happens,
right, right,
because they just won't do that, then they would be the same height as the other girls around them. You walk into a room, and their like heads are even with all the other women. Not every woman, of course. There's such a variety of height, both men and women. But general, you walk into a room, 100 people, and there's 50 women in there. They're going to be more or less sort of within an inch or two of each other, with a few outliers, both tall and short. Just look around you. That's how it ends. While the women will generally be shorter than all the men. It's just nature. Okay, that's what the hormones do for us. And so puberty blockers gives time, especially for trans boys, to get taller. Now, the trans girls will get taller. They may not get as tall as they would have been if they had been allowed testosterone in the puberty. But they won't get the big feet. They won't get the big hands. They won't get a deep voice.
Oh, God. Terry.
Their voice will stay the same as it was, you know, prepubescent when they were a child. It won't change. If you listen to boys and girls prior to puberty, and you can't see them, you listen to audio, they sound alike. They sound alike. There's very little difference in the pitch and inflection and whatnot in boys and girls who haven't gone through puberty. And so a trans girl will keep that voice. They won't get the deep voice. They won't get a beard. They won't have to have electrolysis.
Yeah, that's a lot
of
fun.
They won't lose their hair. You know, if they're prone to baldness at a young age in their family, they won't lose their hair. They'll keep a full head of hair, and it will be a female pattern. You know, men get kind of a V, and, you know, you get receding at the temples. Even if you don't go bald, almost every man, you know, doesn't have Ronald Reagan hair. He's an aberration in the hair he had for all his life. Most men don't have that hair. You know, you get receding at the temples. Women do not. Women sort of have an upside-down U to their hairline. And a lot of times women's hairline is further up on the forehead than men's. Men's hairlines tend to be further down on the forehead. And again, that's all hormones, because most kids' hairlines, male or female, when they're children, pre-puberty, look the same. If you cut all their hair off and compare them, they look alike. Changes happen when puberty happens.
Right. And if you're trans, it's devastating.
You know, and if you're trans, it's devastating. Yeah, and you can't go back. There is no reversal to a point, especially skeleton hair. Once those beard follicles are set by testosterone to produce beard-size follicles, they do that for the rest of your life unless you kill them. Because hormones, estrogen, does not hardly affect it. Might slow the growth a little bit, but I haven't noticed.
No, it'll change. Estrogen will change hair growth below the neck.
But, oh, yeah. Lost all my chest hair. Lost most of my arm hair. I practically have no hair on my legs. I lost all the hair on my back. Just went poof. I was amazed, frankly, amazed. And I had a nice hairy chest for a guy. It was good. And it went poof in a short amount of time. I was like, holy shit. Did not know that it would do that. Did not know.
And in the course of time, how long have you and Nikki been doing Trans Talk Raw?
A little over a year, 11 to 13 months. No, 14. Yeah, 14 months.
I ask that because obviously I've watched several episodes. I haven't seen the entire
catalog.
Yes, catalog. That's the word I was looking for.
Our catalog of episodes.
Yes. Have y'all had any trans men on?
No, not yet. We have put out offers and asked, and
is
we haven't.
Within the community, is there a disconnect there between trans women and trans men?
Yeah, I mean there's very much a disconnect between trans men and trans women. We do not. It's kind of like men and women. You know, we have different issues than they do. Don't get many come to group meetings in Southern Transgender Alliance, which is the support group I run here in Mobile. When we were having in-person physical meetings, it was getting to where it was half and half, half trans men, half trans women, and that was great before COVID hit. But they don't come to the virtual meetings. They really don't. We get some, but not many.
Well, I asked that specifically because, you know, I sense that there is a disconnect, and maybe it's the natural disconnect that occurs between cis men and cis women.
Maybe, I think it is.
Maybe that's
we
why.
We have different issues. We have different, you know, they, for the most part, don't look at bottom surgery because of it's expensive. They don't get as good results as we do.
Yeah, not particularly effective.
It's multi-stage. You're not going to get a penis that's an analog to a cis penis. It's just, you know, you can get something sort of close, but, yeah, you're not going to be hung like a horse. It's not going to happen. And it's expensive. So.
And it doesn't work sometimes. It just flat doesn't work.
No, and it's not going to work. It does to an extent, depending on how much enlargement they get of their clitoris, because a clitoris is the same material that makes up a penis. It can get erect when aroused. And under testosterone, the clitoris will enlarge and lengthen, and a trans man can get to around 4 inches erect under testosterone on their clitoris. And they can do some surgery that actually drops the clitoris down more into the position of a cisgender penis. So they might get 5 inches, maybe. Maybe. It's not going to be as hard as a cis.
Because it occurs to me, because I do, I sit around thinking about things, and from our side of the aisle, puberty was hell. Because it was we saw our reality being foisted, or a reality being foisted upon us that we didn't necessarily want.
No, that was the first thing that rang my bell. Really rang my bell. I had signs of it as a child. I can look back and go, yeah, okay, that's that. But really didn't ring my bell until I was 11 years old.
And it's terrifying. And I took a moment just to try to think, you know, trying to put myself in the shoes of the other gender. And, you know, if you're a trans boy, mm-hmm. and your period hits,
uh-huh.
Holy shit!
Yeah, developing breasts.
And that's, yeah. that's, you know, that's, I, you know, there are so many, you know, women's medicine lags so far behind men's, you know, there's that old saying out there that if men had to become pregnant, abortion would be a sacrament.
Shit, there would be abortion clinics on every corner.
Yeah, so. Exactly. They'd probably have them in churches. But women's medicine, again, is so far behind. You know, treatments for things like polycystic ovarian syndrome, and this is among cis women who suffer.
Oh, yeah, right.
And, you know, to be a trans boy and have all those girly things happen to you, you know, we thought it was bad when the beard came in. Holy shit, Terry.
Yeah, I know. It is. Same.
It's the same horror, only worse, maybe.
Yeah, it's the same horror in reverse.
And in many ways, I think it's entirely possible that trans boys get more shit from their families, maybe, than trans girls do. Because, you know, you're daddy's little princess. You know, you're and yeah, there's
true. The, I mean, I can't.
It's all that. I can't either. But it's all that mixed up patriarchy stuff. And I, you know, I'd love to hear.
Well, it is. I mean, the boys get just, you know, because you're a boy, and you just need to man up. You know, and you don't. You want a girl up. You want to be the princess. You want to go the prom in a flowing gown and be pretty and have a makeover and get your nails done, and you can't. And you see all the girls around you doing that, and you can't. It's just same difference for a trans boy that wants to go out for the football team and wants to carry the football and be the store quarterback and date the cheerleader. And, you know, of course, that gets into sexuality, and not implying that gender equates sexuality.
Right,
it's
right.
not, okay? You can be vice versa, either gender, and many of us are. So... But same difference, things we don't get. I mean, my mother made the majority of the dresses my oldest sister wore to proms and lead outs and whatnot, wherever she needed a formal dress of some kind. And my mother sewed most of them. They were great. I was jealous as shit. I didn't quite understand it completely at the time, but why? It was because I wanted a pretty dress. I wanted my mother to make me a dress, and I couldn't have that.
And you wanted to be fussed over.
And I couldn't have that as a teen boy. I could not have that. And it sucks. And I just don't want the trans kids of today to have to go through the shit we did, Robin.
Yeah, it's like the intro to the $6 million man, you know, Lee Majors. I know you remember that. You know, now with the trans kids, it's like, we have the technology. We can rebuild them.
We have the hormones. We can do this. We can stop it in its tracks, and you never have
and
to
save
deal with
lives
that.
And save lives.
It's like, I know, I don't understand how to protect, you know, you read some of the titles of these bills, and it's like, protect children and safeguard and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no, you're not. You're just going to fuck these kids over.
There's a law of nature that says that every Republican bill will have an Orwellian name.
Yeah.
Now, protect vulnerable children.
Yeah.
Yeah,
we want to protect them from you.
Yeah,
we
want to protect them all the way into the grave. Thanks.
That's it.
It goes back to I remember during the Bush era. Do you remember the Clean Skies Initiative? The Clean Skies Initiative was a Republican plan to add air pollution. The Healthy Forest Initiative was a Republican plan to cut down the fucking forests. You know. Whatever, and it goes back, you know, the four tortured years of the Nitwit Nero presidency was all about projection. Anything they complained about was and said Democrats were doing was something they had either already done or planned to do. And it's that simple. I heard we heard back from Cynthia in the Bay Area, Terry. Hi again. Yes, you have my timeline correct.
They generally cloak these things in, you know, pretty words.
Oh, yeah. Protect vulnerable children. Isn't that just sweet? I mean, why wouldn't you vote for that?
Do
protecting vulnerable children. But Cynthia says, even though I transitioned in the 90s, I still benefited from people.
We're protecting them.
Yeah. Cynthia says, I still benefited from people who came before me. And that included gay people who were discovered where I worked in the 90s and who were fired for it. I didn't realize it at the time, but there was a leftover backlash by my coworkers against those who had much like gay coworkers fired. So when I came out a few short years later, that was still fresh on the minds of many, and it helped pave the way for me. I had amazing acceptance and felt like I won 95%. I've been, she says, I've been lucky in my life. Well, except for losing that lottery at conception that stuck me in a male body with a female identity. That part was hell. Great show today. And again, Cynthia says, we can't have for any price. We can't have for any price what cisgender people get for free. And that's absolutely true.
No. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, puberty blockers. They want to ban it for trans kids, but cis children who go through precocious puberty, which is where this whole protocol of medication came from, well, they'll be able to get it. So it's like, how do you deny one set of kids a medical treatment that another set of kids can and will get?
Yeah, you're 8 years old, and
how is that possible? Miss Lawyer, can you explain that? How that's
no, it's a raging violation of any concept of equal protection, and the very idea. I mean, in a place like Alabama, how's that going to play out? You are an 8 year old cis female who has already budded up a nice what would in an older child be a nice set of B cup breasts, and you're already experiencing the beginnings of menarche.
Mm-hmm.
And so the doctor's going to sit there and say, now, honey, okay, it looks like puberty's starting a little bit earlier, so we're going to block your puberty and just slow it down so you can develop more age appropriately. But first I have to ask a question. You're not trans, are you?
Yeah.
So I guess that means that the trans kids sit there and go, no. And the same, and it's the same thing with little trans girls. You know, 8 years old, got a 5 o'clock shadow. I mean, I was in sixth grade with a kid who was shaving every day.
Yeah, yeah.
And back then, it was like, cool. Wow, look at him.
Wow, look at that. Damn.
But it really wasn't, because that's not the way it's supposed to work.
You know, no, it's not.
8 year olds are not supposed.
That's where it comes from. That's where these puberty blockers were developed, and they are safe. No one has died. When they talk about, there's 6,000 people have died from the use of these drugs. Yeah, those are men who have terminal prostate cancer, and they went on these drugs because it blocks testosterone, and it bought them another year of life. No kids have died from the use of these drugs, not a single one, period.
Yeah, and what's that, the Tavistock decision in Britain, you know, the woman who, I may never be able to have children. Well, that's not because of puberty blockers. Is it?
No, it's not. It's got nothing to do with... And she transitioned after the age of 18. Okay?
Right.
She was of the age of consent. That's like fucking...
Yeah, and it's
and other stuff had come out now that she was misled by these people, and she doesn't think she should have detransitioned, and it's like, God, woman, you have fucked so many people over for what you did, for what you've said.
Kind of like our previous conversation about Judas.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, they're used, they're taken. You know, it's like that Walt Hires. Should have never transitioned, but he lived as a woman for 8 or 10 years until he detransitioned. Basically, he had gender dysphoria when he transitioned, but he didn't transition until he was 41 years old. Don't come here and tell these kids they don't know who they are.
Because they damn well do.
Your experience, because they damn well do. You had extenuating circumstances. And you knew how to game the system at that point in time to get what you wanted.
And so this guy, Walt hires, yeah, and part of this conversation, Terry, the purpose of it is to take, because the misinformation and disinformation is running hot, fast, and deep right now.
Oh God, yes, the lies.
And so if we can, if and it's primarily you in this conversation, and I'm so grateful for it, to take apart these lies. Talk a minute, if you don't mind, about Walt Hires. I mean, you've given a little bit of the background, but he's basically on a right wing sponsored tour. I mean, you know, all of this.
Yeah.
If you're right wing, everything is about getting paid. And so.
Oh yeah. Well, they fly him around, you know, and he gets in all these hearings to spew his vile BS. His position is every single transgender person that transitions will regret it at some point, period. Whether it takes a year or 30 years, they will. It doesn't matter who's there. It doesn't matter who says different. He is like the, you know, gospel of this. And he's not. As a child, he was abused by his grandmother, who used to dress him up in girls' clothes, really fucked up his mind good. And then later on, you know, he had these reoccurring things that he wanted to be a woman. And so he went through transition in hormones at the age of 41 and transitioned and lived quite successfully as a woman for like 8 or 10 years. But he had gender dysphoria as a woman. He should have never transitioned. This was back in the 90s, early 90s, late 80s, a very different time. He knew what to say. You know, it was all there, what you had to say to these people to get what you wanted. And there were people who gamed it, who wanted that. And that's what he got. And it's all on him. Sorry.
Yeah, just like
there are con artists who get this shit. Instead of listening to people the way you're supposed to, if you want to transition and you're not trans and you want it anyway, yeah, you can, because you can say all the right things, and who's going to disbelieve you? But somebody's not there going to save you from yourself. This is what their main gripe is. You should have stopped me. You should have stopped me. You should have known. You should have known I was lying off my ass.
Okay. And that's why those mental health requirements are there
That's why we have the protocols that we have in place. That's why we have the protocols that we have in place. Part of it is the liability. Okay? Because, yeah, there are people who think it's a fetish.
But by the same token, you know, if a trans woman walks into a plastic surgeon and says, I'd like to have breast augmentation because estrogen didn't give me everything I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
She's got to show a letter signed by the commissioner of Major League Baseball to get it. On the other hand, a cis woman.
Some surgeons require that. Some surgeons require that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a cis woman walks in and says, you know, mm-hmm. I'd like to have more than nature gave me. Mm-hmm. You got the money? Okay. Good. We'll do it tomorrow.
Sure, honey. We'll do it next week. It's like, no, there's no, oh, well, you know, I'm sorry. We need to have two letters from a therapist and a psychologist stating that you're of sound mind to understand and consent to having bigger boobs than what you were born with. And we're going to require you to wear a bra of the size you want for a year to make sure that you're okay with having boobs that big. Now, no cis woman has to go through that kind of shit. We, on the other hand, have to live in the gender we identify as for at least a year. To have bottom surgery, at least a year, you know, just to be sure, to be just sure, sure. Are you double sure, like pinky sure, you know, pinky swear sure? Okay. The you know, the gatekeepers, as we call them, mother, may I? I think of it as mother, may I? Mother, may I please have hormones? Mother, may I please transition? Mother, may I, can I get a vagina? Can I change my ID? Can I change my birth certificate? Mother, may I please? Constant. No cis person goes through that kind of shit.
Yeah, it's Dickensian. Yet more, please. More.
Same difference. it's tiresome, it's exhausting, constantly have to ask for permission for something that makes your life better. Why do I fucking have to get somebody's damn permission?
Exactly.
And so we jump through the hoops, and we do the protocols, and we do it because it's the only way, often the only way we can get it.
You either do or you don't, and then you have to, then you sometimes, I mean, I'm certainly in that boat, where you have to beg and plead and fight for the right kind of right kind of medication. And I've been gatekept for 6 months.
Yeah, you've been having to fight, and it's a constant game of educating your medical providers. I've had to do it. I've changed because of it. When you know more about it than they do, and yet, but they have the prescription pad, and they're only going to prescribe you X, and you want X, Y.
Yeah, you lose.
You lose.
And hence.
And yeah, I self-medicated for a while. And thought about going back to it at one point because I was not getting what the fuck I wanted from my damn doctor. Fortunately, I was able to switch to another endocrinologist who would and did. Because my feminization really didn't jump or take off until that. And that was injections, getting injections. Oral,
and that's
he did not do it for me.
That's exactly so where I am because basically I've been running around for months now at postmenopausal estrogen levels. And that's apparently just fine.
And you know, as a 58-year-old woman going through puberty of the gender she identifies as, you don't want it to be at postmenopausal levels. It doesn't happen. And there are some doctors who will do that because of your age. No, this is bullshit.
Well, the fact of the matter is, because of my age, I should not be on the oral dose. I mean, you know, sublingually, buccally, whatever. But yeah, I shouldn't be on the dosage that I'm on. I should be on injections or gel or something like that. But no, it's take the pills or walk. And one promise that I made to myself when I started this is, because I did it once, and it was horrible. I will never detransition again.
Well, I sincerely hope the new provider that you have talked to is able to provide you with. I know she's able to, so I hope that is something that can happen for you.
Oh, I do too. I do too, and I thank you. I thank you so much.
Because I think you will be in good care with her.
Mm-hmm. And there's something terribly exciting about having insurance now.
Oh shit! Yeah,
I'm still waiting for my happy little insurance card, and it hasn't showed up. But
yeah, our Canadians don't quite understand the thrill of getting insurance. You
know. What? I've had that since I was born.
Yeah, right. Really. Yeah.
But it's going to happen, and you know, I'm going to do things with my insurance absolutely unrelated to gender or sexuality. I'm going to get probably a fresh MRI on the rotten discs in my neck. And see where that presently stands, because that's been unattended to for a very long time, and it's really painful. But that's just that's the blessing of liberty, Terry, not being able to go to the doctor when you're sick. Thank God we have freedom. Yeah, and thank you going out to our dear friend Jude in the Great Northwest. Thank you, Jude. Women Standing, kicking in to take us down to 770 to complete fundraising. So $170 more, and we will be fully funded for last Monday.
Sweet.
Yeah, that's wonderful. And thank you so much, Terry, for all of this time, and thank you for all that you do for me off air.
Oh, you're welcome.
It's an absolute joy and a relief and a blessing of a secular variety to have you in my corner, and it means the absolute world to me.
Well, it's been so awesome to reconnect with you, Robin, especially as two women now, where we had the other side of the coin in high school, and
we were such terrible football players. I do too.
we were.
But I don't want to hit the block. That was one thing I was going to bring up when we were talking about all that. You were talking about your mom making dresses for your sister and everything. and I'd come home from football, and I hated it. I hated it. And you know, my dad, bless his heart, would look at me and say, "You just got to get mean," as if it's a faucet you can turn on and off. And maybe some people can.
Yeah, I thought there were some actually. Some of our teammates could do that. I couldn't. It's like I had no idea. I don't want to be mean.
I'm not a mean person.
I don't want to hit people. I don't like it. It does nothing for me. I don't know if you're getting some kind of freaking power trip off of it, but yeah, not me. I got tired of being bloodied and bruised and have my whole forearm just purple and pinks, you know, from elbow to hand, because I got used as a damn blocking dummy all the time and used as an example of how to tackle. God almighty.
Yeah, stand there and get hurt. And I mentioned the rotten discs in my neck. Guess where that came from?
Can't imagine.
Hmm. Yeah, football.
Yeah. Oh, I think issues I have with my neck probably came from there as well.
Because back then it was completely acceptable and, in fact, encouraged to, you know, go drive your helmet into that kid's gut.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Shit. Ugh, God.
Gotta be mean, Terry. You gotta be mean.
I'm so happy I quit football my junior year and ran cross country my senior year. That was so much better.
Yeah, I just quit football and went and hid in the theater department.
Yeah, that works too. Yeah.
But I'm envious of you. We had a lovely day here, but it's going to get a lot lovelier where you are a lot more quickly. And enjoy.
Yeah, it's starting to warm up. That is for sure.
Are the azaleas finally blooming?
There's a couple of buds. You know, I don't know if we're going to have a huge bloom like we do most years, but we'll see, maybe. The cold winter we had was something else this year. Really knocked everything back. We're probably a month behind.
Well, there's something just exquisite. Blooming. There's something just exquisite about the, you know, the whole South Alabama, Gulf Coast, Mississippi area. One of those.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this time of year, usually, the whole area has just exploded in a riot of pink. And damn, it's pretty. But enjoy it, and I hope, you know, you and I are still plotting and scheming to try to make an event possible, you know, because you've had your shot, and I'm getting mine tomorrow, and we'll all be vaccinated against
it. You still don't know which one you're getting, right?
No idea. Mm-hmm. Yeah, just stick.
I got the Moderna, so.
You got the Dolly shot.
I got the Dolly shot, and I'll have my second one on April 1st, Fool's Day, so.
And so what does that make the wait time for you?
4 weeks. It's 4 weeks with Moderna. It's 3 weeks with Pfizer. And if you get the Johnson, you're one and done.
One and done, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I don't care what it is. I'm just
terribly excited. Yeah, I was the same way. I don't give a shit. Yeah, just give me one.
Yeah, I'm just terribly excited because we all want this gone and done. It's not going to go away. It's endemic in the population now, and the vaccine is the only... is the only real answer, and this has nothing to do with the conversation that we've been having. But for some reason or another, I'm on the official mailing list, email list of 45 office, Terry. And
you're kidding?
No, that orange monstrosity is still using the presidential seal of the United States, the office of Donald J. Trump. Oh wait, no.
I'm sorry. I don't think ex-presidents are allowed to use it.
No.
The seal of the president, the current president of the United States, not for a piece of shit like Donald Trump.
Right. So I've got he's put out two press releases in the time we've been on air together.
God, two?
Yeah, and grab the arms of your chair or the front of your desk or whatever it is you need to stop yourself from running out the door and eating dirt and running rabbits, because I'm going to read this press release to you since we were talking about vaccines.
Okay. March 10th, 2021. Statement by Donald J. Trump, 45th President of the United States of America. I hope everyone remembers when they're getting the COVID-19, often referred to as the China virus, vaccine, that if I wasn't president, you wouldn't be getting that beautiful shot for 5 years at best, and probably wouldn't be getting it at all. I hope everyone remembers. You petty little bitch. I'm not making that up. That really is an official release
from a former president, albeit one who wasn't able to be elected, you know, by winning the popular vote twice. But no, he did that. It's absolutely revolting. It's, and like I said, that was the second one today. I heard an odd noise. Are you still there, Terry? Terry. Huh. Well, it appears I may have lost Terry. And maybe it was the Donald Trump the voice that made her run away. It's kind of revolting. Ugh. But imagine the nerve of that. It's absolutely sickening. Let me let her know that I lost her. But yeah, so we're all supposed to be, grateful to Donald Trump for vaccines that were developed with no help whatsoever from Donald Trump. Jesus, that's disgusting. But it's also not outside the mainstream. Steve, early in the conversation, pointed something out. Here's something we really need to make very clear. Every one of the LGBTQ letters has existed since time immemorial. It's only in the last 40 to 50 years we have dared to demand that the law treat us like actual people. A Homo sapiens is about 100,000 years old, as best we can tell. And only in the last 50 years have people who are outside the mainstream, so to speak, in Western culture been afforded even the most basic common decency of human treatment. Going back to something Lee in New York said, stop it, Robin. The religious people do not know about Matthew 25. They only know what the preacher says. They don't read. And the preacher never asks them to really open the book. Yeah. And by the way, as Darlene pointed out in an article from Axios, this year, 2021, this isn't hyperventilation by the trans community. There are more anti-trans youth bills in 2021 than have ever been introduced before. Orion Rumler writing at Axios, thank you, Darlene. Republicans in at least 25 states have introduced over 60 bills targeting transgender children, a legislative boom since January that's beaten 2020's total number of anti-trans bills. And it's all because, you know, there are predecessors to all of these things. Remember when Barack Obama became president and the gun stores couldn't keep guns in stock and ammunition flew off the shelves because the Republicans all screamed, that Kenyan Muslim usurper is going to take your guns. Well, this is the same thing. The Biden administration enforces reestablishes rules that were put in place for trans people in the Obama administration that were torn out by the nitwit Nero administration. And so the Republican Party responds by doubling down on the number of bills against the trans community. It's the same thing. In 2020, there were 41 bills that were focused specifically on trans youth. And in two short months in 2021, that number has already been exceeded. And there's a sad aspect to it because this article quotes Dan Cox, the director of the American Enterprise Institute's Survey Center on American Life. I think the American Enterprise Institute isn't exactly a left-wing think tank, but nonetheless, Dan Cox spoke to Axios and said, on the Democratic side, this is not an issue that really excites the base. But on the right, I think these issues are really, really salient, so it tends to fire up folks disproportionately on the right than the left. And he added all this stuff, just as we just have said over the course of the past 2.5 hours, a lot of this stuff is being framed as dangerous for children. That harkens back to the gay rights movement. And that's a pretty effective way to get people who are sort of more moderate and middle of the road off and active on this issue. It's not random that these are the issues that are being brought up. I don't know how you call somebody moderate who is actively involved in a battle against basic human rights. I don't know that. So again, thank you very kindly to Terry Ellen, dear, dear sister to me that she is, for coming on and sharing her knowledge. I love getting to talk with her. And I hope you enjoy it as well, whether you're listening live or on the podcast. We got about 30 minutes left in the program. If any of you have questions, feel free. Give me a call. The stress line's open. The Skype line's open. Bob Kincaid Horn on Skype. And, of course, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. And you'll get right into the program. I can fill a Robster the next 30 minutes of the program. But gosh, I will add, though I despise doing it, I will add that we are a good, like I said, $160 from being funded for Monday. And, well, like Jeremy said a couple of nights ago, the bills don't pay themselves. And unfortunately, that's entirely correct. I had a couple of great conversations the last two nights of the program, and I'm grateful to Terry, and I'm grateful to Barry Friedman last night. Let me check some other platforms. Arun with a note says, interesting Montana activist. I grew up knowing I couldn't talk about my own personal experiences because there's so much shame. One activist said, now I take a lot of the things that I was raised to be shameful of, and I'm proud of them. I never wanted to tell anyone I was queer, and here I am at the capital of Montana in my rose tie. And that is from a Montana two-spirit, non-binary activist who are engaged in the battle against all this anti-trans legislation. And, you know, maybe it doesn't rouse. Maybe it doesn't rouse the interest of the Democratic base. But it damned well should. Because if they're allowed to pick off various parts of our big, various elements of our big tent, well, there won't be any more big victories. There won't be any blue waves. Well, same pattern, says Darlene in Connecticut, with trying to do away with a woman's right to choose. Republicans are trying to erase that, as we know, and in the case of trans kids, erase entire human beings. These moribund bastards always need an enemy. Talk about cancel culture. Again, they always project. And it's absolutely true. They always do. And there always has to be an enemy. There always has to be an other. The entire reason for the existence of the Republican Party is the othering of someone for purposes of their acquisition of political power and the wealth that goes with it. As you may know, Merrick Garland was confirmed in the Senate today by a vote of 70-30 to be Attorney General of the United States. So now, finally, lo, after so many years, we finally have an attorney general who says he is deadly in earnest about digging into the Capitol insurrection and rooting out, and I hope he means it, rooting out the origins of it. But the vote was 70-30. one of the 70, that, you know, that means there were 20 whole Republicans who voted in favor of Merrick Garland's nomination. And one of those 20 Republicans was Moscow Mitch McConnell. And I read the AP account of the confirmation today, and there was an element to it that, of course, made me want to eat dirt and run rabbits. Because in explaining, because he has to explain, because he's Mitch McConnell and he's a Republican and he's evil, but he had to explain to his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing base why it was that he voted for Merrick Garland. Because otherwise some maggot might, you know, take a pot shot or two at him. Because they're like that on that side. And so by way of explanation, Merrick, for his vote for Merrick Garland, Mitch McConnell said, I voted for Merrick Garland. Now, this was the guy who wouldn't even let him have a hearing when he was nominated to the Supreme Court. I mean, he's got gall in buckets. Yeah, I voted for Merrick Garland because even though he is a leftist, he is still within the mainstream of America. I wish I was kidding. Let me see if I can find the exact quote, because it'll kind of blow your mind. I mean, this is a real live, no kidding, Associated Press story. And the actual quote from Moscow Mitch. He said, his long reputation as a straight shooter and legal expert, even though he has a left-of-center perspective, it's still within the legal mainstream. A left-of-center perspective. Does Mitch McConnell even know who Merrick Garland is? Merrick Garland has a long history on the bench of voting in favor of and alongside police and against criminal defendants and against the people whom police hurt. Left of center. The hell does that? Does the political spectrum in this country even exist anymore? When one side of the political debate is more interested in reading, and Kevin McCarthy did this, in reading Green Eggs and Ham in an empty room, than in helping people who are suffering during an economic crisis and a pandemic. Damn. Left of center? I guess he's left of center because he actually wants to track down the origins of the January 6th attack on the Capitol. God. And, you know, we talked about Republicans in Georgia wanting to felonize simply giving someone waiting in line a bottle of water. Well, there's kind of an ancillary development. There are apparently new recordings of Nitwit Nero.
I hope everybody realizes they wouldn't have a vaccine except for me.
And, of course, Joe Biden won't respond to that, the other guy. Because even though Nitwit Nero no longer has a Twitter account, he's still issuing press releases like the one I just read. But it's being reported in the Wall Street Journal that Nitwit Nero, and this was reported on last night by Rachel Maddow, but the Wall Street Journal reporting that Nitwit Nero told a Georgia official that if she could find enough votes,
you'd be praised.
Kathy Cox, dean of Mercer University's law school, in a Reuters report, said it's not a stretch to see where she's taking this, meaning District Attorney Fannie Willis of Fulton County, Georgia. She said, she told Rachel Maddow, or Rachel Maddow reported, that she's looking at RICO, the Racketeer-Influenced Corrupt Organization statute, as it relates to Trump's attempt to pervert the electoral process in Georgia. And along the way, she's hired a lawyer, a prosecutor, one of the best in Georgia, whose experience is deep when it comes to RICO prosecutions, literally wrote the book. So that's why Kathy Cox, dean of Mercer University's law school, said if Donald Trump engaged in two or more acts that involve false statements that were made knowingly and willfully in an attempt to falsify material fact like the election results, then you can piece together a violation of the Racketeering Act. And those two separate recordings apparently exist. The second call was made, you know, the first one was with Brian Kemp and members from the Georgia, governor of Georgia, and with members of the Secretary of State's office. But the second one, the one that brings in the possibility of RICO, was made to Georgia Chief Investigator Francis Watson. And again, they recorded it. Because nobody wants to go to prison for Donald Trump, because there's no upside to going to prison for Donald Trump, because Donald Trump will burn anyone and anything to save his own miserable orange hide. And he urged Ms. Watson.
He said, Fulton County is the motherlode, Fulton County.
And the recording is public. They ran it on CNN earlier.
The former president made to the Georgia Secretary of State, but there was another call that he made to a chief investigator in that office. This was just before Christmas last year, where he's essentially pushing her to find problems with the votes. He's insisting that he won and saying that she will be praised if she just finds the right answer in all of this. Here's a snippet of this call, the audio of which was obtained by the Wall Street Journal.
You know, something happened there. I mean, something bad happened, and I hope you're doing that stop, because if I hope you're going back 2 years as opposed to just checking, you know, one against the other, because that would just be sort of a signature check that didn't mean anything. But if you go back 2 years, and if you can get to Fulton, you're going to find things that are going to be unbelievable, the dishonesty that we've heard from them.
Right.
You know, just good sources, good sources. But Fulton is the mother load, you know, as the expression goes, Fulton County.
Right. Well, Mr. President,
I want to see, you know.
Right. I appreciate your comments, and I can assure you that our team and the GBI, that we're only interested in the truth and finding, finding the information that's based on the facts.
Now Trump goes.
GBI, Georgia Bureau of Investigation, by the way. But that seems pretty clear to me, and probably to you too, what he was asking for. And going back and checking the signatures 2 years ago, he didn't come up with that by himself, because he's not an intelligent man. That was one of those ideas that was handed to him by the various and sundry racists who lived in his orbit. And so he knows that signatures change. Signature matching, signature identification, is not a science by any stretch of the imagination. It's more art. And it's not even that. It's more like telling the Ouija board what you want to see. And so consequently, it has long been an element of racist voter suppression. And he's still stinging, Nitwit Nero is. He knows the activism that went into taking Georgia. And he damned well knows who to hate. And who he hates is Stacey Abrams. And that wasn't all of the call. Oh, no. You already heard what Ms. Watson said.
The country is counting on it.
Winning Georgia.
You have the most important job in the country,
he tells Watson.
We won Texas by a record number. Texas was won by the biggest number ever.
That, of course, was yet another lie. But in speaking to Watson, he says,
I won Georgia by a lot, and the people know it, and, you know, something happened. Something bad happened.
It's disgusting.
The people in Georgia are so angry at what happened. They know I won by hundreds of thousands of votes. I hope you're going back. You heard the 2 years part.
And, you know, Ms. Watson was trying to get rid of him, get him off the phone because, well, she didn't want, she knew she was exposed right then and there. She may very well have been in grand jury territory. But he wouldn't let go. Because, as we've said, for 4 years, he was nothing but a jiggling adipose wad of jealousy, petty jealousy, fear, and insecurity. And so, because he hadn't got all his digs in, he said,
you know, they dropped the ballots. They dropped all these ballots. Stacey Abrams, really, really terrible. I mean, just a terrible thing. And I'll say this, if it went, I mean, hopefully this will show, because if you go back 2 years or 4 years, you're going to see it's a totally different signature. But hopefully, you know, I will. When the right answer comes out, you'll be praying.
Stacey Abrams. Well, Stacey Abrams is the trifecta, or the I don't know, the Daily Double, I guess. You know, female and black. So she gets a double hate. This miserable crook. God. And this is going to go on until someone manages to put him away. Put him in freaking jail. And I mentioned earlier Merrick Garland and the search into the sources of the origins of the attack on the Capitol. The AP also reported that the investigation is homing in, not honing, homing. And they're looking at, for instance, the Oath Keepers and the Proud Boys. As the AP report begins by Alana Durkin, Richard, and Michael Kunzelman, as members of the Oath Keepers paramilitary group shouldered their way through the mob and up the steps to the Capitol, their plans for January 6th were clear, authorities say. Arrest this assembly. We have probable cause for acts of treason, election fraud. And that went out over an encrypted messaging app that isn't so encrypted anymore. That they were using to organize and mobilize and direct the attack. The Proud Boys were outfitted with two-way radios and earpieces. Assistant U.S. Attorney Jason McCullough in a recent hearing said this was not simply a march. This was an incredible attack on our institution of institutions of government. But it has to go, and I hope it does, it has to go higher than the people on the ground. It has to go to the people who ordered it, who funded it, who organized it, and that goes all the way to the top. All the way to the filthy top. And I hope Merrick Garland is equal to the task. But we still have a surge to watch out for. The pandemic is real. It's still real. It's probably going, it almost assuredly going to get worse as the weather turns nicer. And so there in Texas, where Governor Greg Abbott declared that the COVID pandemic does not exist anymore, even as we continue to report mounting cases and still, again, remounting deaths. Well, in Austin, in Texas, and Travis County broadly, the public health officials there have said that they're going to continue the mask requirement there. That despite the fact that Greg Abbott said that local communities can't do that anymore. Austin and Travis County's public health structure said, no, we're still going to require masks. So the indicted attorney, that just blows my mind. The indicted attorney general of Texas, Ken Paxton, has now given Austin until 6 p.m. or he'll sue. The decision to require masks or otherwise impose COVID-19 related operating limits is expressly reserved to private businesses on their own premises. It does not rest with jurisdictions like the city of Austin or Travis County or their local health authorities. We've already taken you to court under similar circumstances. You lost. If you continue to flout the law in this manner, we'll take you to court again and you will lose again. Well, the only answer to that is, well, you know, come on, indicted felon. Bring it. Bring your best. See if you've got time to do this in the course of defending yourself against the felonies with which you are charged. But, of course, that wouldn't be sporting. That wouldn't be cricket to act that way. Of course not. Ugh. Oh, and by the way, there's a story out there. The NBA is doing its job, as are so many others, encouraging people to get vaccinated. I know someone who said, oh, I'm not going to get the vaccine. I never get a flu shot. And I said, please, for God's sakes, get the vaccine. When it's available, get it. You need it. And it's so true. But the NBA All-Star Game was last weekend, and of course, in front of it, there were interviews with the players and the superstars, and then there's no superstar more superstar than LeBron James. And since the NBA has been campaigning to get people to take the vaccine, to get the vaccine, because that puts butts in seats, and it's all about money. It's always all about money. They want people back in the arenas watching the games and buying $20 beers and $15 hot dogs. So before the All-Star Game began last weekend, they asked LeBron James about the vaccine. And instead of saying, gosh, yes, I'm going to get it, my family's going to get it, we're going to get it as soon as it's available, it's the best thing in the world, it's the best thing for every American to get this vaccine, because we need to get the numbers of vaccinated people up so that we can begin to recover from this pandemic. No, LeBron James said, that's a conversation that my family and I will have. Pretty much keep that to a private thing. Things like that, when you decide to do something, that's a conversation between you and your family and not for everybody. I'll keep it that way. You know, under ordinary circumstances, sure, when you're as famous as LeBron James, you want to keep things private. But my God, there is an element of example setting. And it's completely at odds with something that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar said earlier in the year. He said, anyone who has a following in our country can do a great job of getting people to understand that they need to be vaccinated ASAP. I don't think there's any problem with that. And he's not the only one. Other icons of the game and Spurs coach Greg Popovich are out there pressing for people to be vaccinated. And apparently, inside the NBA Players Association, there's a lot of questions. The executive director of the NBA Players Association, Michelle Roberts, speaking to Yahoo Sports, said, you know, it ranges from hell no, I'm not taking it, to why can't we take it sooner? This is terrible. This is terrible for America. We've got to, why help me here? There is no evidence of people having horrible, God knows, or life threatening outcomes. Some people have gotten sick a little bit. You maybe feel crappy after the second shot. That is a small price to pay to not die horizontally crucified, isn't it? Yeah. Thank you, Ralphs, and thank you, Will in Chicago. That takes the fundraising goal down to $725. Thank you both so very much. I got a question from Sister Jude out in the Great Northwest. Forgive my ignorance. There's no ignorance to forgive, Jude. How does Trump make a press release? Yet more importantly, what an informative and revealing interchange regarding transgender people with your guest, Terry, as it offered such a clearer understanding of your journey. Walk in the fullness of how you were created, dear Robin. Thank you, Jude. And as to, you know, anybody can create a press release. He has Jason Williams. I think that's the little creep who has followed him down to Mar-a-Lago. And so they've bogarted the presidential seal, and they send out these press releases, and I don't know how I got on the list, but there I am. And at least it's an opportunity to do the stupid Trump voice that you all love to hate. So, and thank you for such kindness, Jude. Thank you. Darlene noting, and we thought Tish James was badass, as in tough. Well, meet Fanny, pronounced Fawny, not Fanny, I think, Fawny. But I'll humbly defer to Tracy on that. Fawny Willis, and she isn't messing around. I hope so. I hope that's the case. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, Jeremy. We are down to 715. We're $115 away from being fully funded for last Monday. Thank you. Matt in San Francisco, subject line, Mitch the Bitch. I look forward to the day I can say the late Mitch McConnell, of natural causes, of course. Go buy yourself dinner, Agent Fred. Gotta be natural causes. Natural causes for an unnatural person. Subject line, TTPM. I mean, after all, I'm 2 to 3 stages into the secret referral recruiting bonus. Thanks, Jeremy. And what Jeremy means is I was looking over the personal copy that gets sent to me of the TTPM Trans Talking Point memo, and it would seem that you and Terry Ellen got yours as well, because you hit every point I read earlier today. Shh. Maybe this is a conspiracy. Oh, dear, don't say that. Please don't say that. Oh, my God. No, no. But, wow, 3 hours gone in a hurry. And thanks, everybody, for joining in. I hope you I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And thanks again to Terry Ellen for jumping in. She's such a wealth of information. And I'm really bugged by that idea that the rights of a group of Americans just don't motivate the Democratic base. What the hell does? Are we back to that whole star fucking thing again? Because that's really frustrating. And yeah, I agree. I'm not even going into it, but I so agree, Darlene. When can the world be done with this royalty bullshit? Not soon enough. By a long shot. Why some people don't want the vaccine? Lee in New York says there are some people in the black community who fear that what will be medically done to them, and that is absolutely legitimate, given this country's history. Three words, Tuskegee syphilis study. However, white people are getting the vaccine. And it's the same same pattern being reestablished. You know, Nitwit Nero was more concerned about the vaccine before he found out, or more concerned about the virus before he found out that it was disproportionately killing black and brown people, and then he was kind of excited about it. Sick, racist old fuck. Oh, well. But that brings us to the end of the program. And again, thank you all for joining in. And thanks to all of you who join in via the podcast. It matters not how you participate in the program. It matters that the program matters to you. So thanks to all of our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so very kindly to each and every one of you who shares your precious finite time on this planet, engaging in this program, in this conversation, in whatever manner you so choose. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Pinch Hit Midweek Chat Room Utility Moderator and all-around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is, of course, at HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Just keep getting better, Ben. We all love you and care for you. You know, Ben Birch almost single-handedly saved progressive radio through the better part of this century. And very few people know that. But he did. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. I'm really excited for 10:45 tomorrow morning. I'll tell you all about it when I get back tomorrow evening. Our big day with the needle. Get your vaccine when you can. Until then, and after that, wear your mask, double mask because of the variants. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands frequently. Carry hand sanitizer everywhere you go and use it liberally. Wear your gloves if you've got them. Maintain your social distance 15 feet between people with masks and, well, 15 area codes between you and someone who doesn't. And for God's sakes, if somebody comes towards you saying, "You got till 6 p.m. to repeal your mask mandate, or I'm a coming down there and calling you out in the middle of the dusty street known as Congress Street there in Austin. I'll be waiting for you." Avoid that person like the plague, because, well, he's under felony indictment, and, well, he also is the plague. Later.